Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. We are doing a show today on the Angel of Creative Wisdom, how it can work, how can working with the angel change your life. This is the Angel of Creative Wisdom. I guess I said creative word, sorry guys. It's actually the Angel of Creative Wisdom. So jump in there and do what we got to do, and just go over some details with this angel and really go in some depth. This is another one of the angels that belongs to the angel of the 22 angels of the council that govern the gateway. We've been taking most of my information and studying. We've started off with a book called The Angels Within Us, a spiritual guide to 22 angels that govern our lives. Some of the gateways that each one of these angels represents, and so the ideal. This is by a guy named John Randolph Price. He's also got another great book called Super Beings. So check out his books out, guys. I mean, I've read those books. They are very important. And the more wisdom you have, the more it makes it easier to go along with what's going on. So we're going to go over this angel very quickly. A lot of the information that I've obtained about this angel, there's not a lot of this one here. Seems to be very simple. This is the angel of creative wisdom. Stands at the gate through which the energy of wisdom flows from divine consciousness. So basically what we're talking about is the angel connected to, I would say, the crown chakra. As you become in tune with her vibration through a deeper consciousness of Master Self, the flow into the subjective, which is the subconscious, and the objective, which is the conscious, phases of mind is increased dramatically by working with this angel. This angel was known as Isis in the mystery schools, a name that means wisdom. According to the Plutarch, this Isis represents a state of consciousness already functioning within the energy field of each individual. Extensions of Holy Spirit, she has a living, conscious energy with the responsibility for supplying currents of creative wisdom, acting as a bridge or a channel between your lower and your higher natures. So this is the one, she stands between the two, the higher self and yourself. Channeling information back together, almost the idea of bringing you two together. And I've seen this a lot with a lot of people who really are very, 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 very spiritual. When you look at them, you can almost see two merging together, of where she brings them into consciousness, of knowing each other, and then also being as one. When free, she works to provide sudden insights and an easy flow of spiritual truth, formerly hidden from your mind, which is what we were talking about this yesterday. Looking at these angels, we were talking about the angel of illusion and reality. The angel of illusion and reality. You know, you look through the illusion to see what the world is supposed to be really like. And it was kind of a weird situation in itself. When you look past the illusion, you see reality. The reality is what your world's supposed to be like. And when we're saying, look past your problems and your issues and the things that are going on that are not working good. And look past that and see that that's just a murkiness of things that have manifested because of how you used to think. Now you're going to change all that focus on there. Virgin Isis, because a lot of the schools talk about the Virgin Isis, and then she becomes the mother who basically brings forth birth to your manifestations. So it's interesting. And the tarot cards, she's represented by the High Priestess, which makes perfect sense. Isis is the High Priestess. Okay, so there we go. The Keeper of the Mysteries. She's a Keeper of the Mysteries, which means as you get to know this angel, she actually reveals to you the mysteries of what's really going on with your life, which is the idea, why can't I obtain what I want? And then she reveals to you what is blocking you from getting those realities. And then next thing you know, you turn things around. The Angel of Creative Wisdom can be a powerful ally on the journey toward higher consciousness of feeding you information. So this will give you more information on reasoning to make better decisions. And this is a good thing because, I mean, if you think about the Angel of Creative Wisdom, if you work with this angel too, and work with the Angel of Illusion and Wisdom, I'm sorry, the Illusion and Reality, and you see how those two can work together and make things work better for you. How to partake of its unlimited vision, its divine judgment, its holy clearness, clear intentions, by letting the highest aspect of your being take control of your lower nature, which means the idea of them working together. It's almost like with the brain, when you get both hemispheres to work together, everything seems to come in sync and work together, where you have more focus and concentration, but it's the idea of them two coming together and giving you that intensity. So you see, it's kind of an interesting thing to notice how these angels all work together and how they work separately. You see, your Holy Spirit at its very moment seeking to influence and control mind, emotions, and body of the lower nature that it is your personality. It's almost like the idea of looking at the situation, guys, and separating the personality from spiritual self, of knowing your spiritual self, which is an unlimited being, and then the ego has all these limitations in telling you, you know, where you have to have certain dynamics and certain things that go back and forth. And that's what I was talking about. When you work with this angel, everything seems to work. You know, when I sit here and said, how can working with this angel change your life? It's the ideal of seeing clearer. Because you have a clear look. When this angel is looking good, your crown chakra and the information that comes through is so clear. It's wide open. So there's what we're talking about. Connecting the lower self to the higher self, which is the ideal of energy. Sometimes it's kind of hard to get across just exactly how that works. So, let me see here real quick. The power of God, the love and wisdom of Christ, and the creative activity of the Holy Spirit, your divine consciousness in and around, above, and through you, embodies the will and power of God, the love and the wisdom of Christ, and the creative activity of the Holy Spirit. It is the very kingdom of God, the fusion of every cosmic joy and universal good created in the mind of pure being, and that it is who and what you are. So it's a strong realization by opening the channel. When you have a very strong sense of self, and you know, and you come into your own, and you use your powers, and you understand how powerful you are, but you have that creative wisdom in order to use it correctly, which is basically to manifest the life that you've always been wanting in the first place, and this is probably what it was, of looking at things realistically. With the solution to so-called problems of life suddenly appear out of nowhere. I guess what I'm saying is, me personally, it's like sitting down and just letting things flow. Because this angel is just sitting there helping me understand, instead of looking at the bad, the worst, how things are happening, how mistakes and accidents have happened. It enables me to sit there calmly, listen to the guidance, listen to the wisdom that goes behind that of things I've already been through in many, many lifetimes, but also connecting to higher consciousness, the idea of God, spirit, the angels, everything around you, to make a conscious choice to take the power and put it where it needs to be at, which is the manifestation of solutions and getting myself out of the situation I got myself into, which means not thinking about the situation I'm in, because I already know that. So then we go one step further and go forward. And creative wisdom, the angel of creative wisdom, helps us to keep moving forward, to keep looking for solutions, to keep seeing things for what they really are, even down to the point, if my foot fell off this morning, it's to help me understand the circumstances leading up to that whole thing, so therefore I won't do it again, and maybe I can even heal that leg and actually come to terms with it, and to constantly keep moving forward, not sitting there grieving over something so crazily because it happened, because it's something I made a decision that caused it to happen. So the wisdom comes in very quickly and goes, okay, move forward, move forward, move forward. But it's also the idea of standing still when people around you are not listening to their self and they try to push you along. It's almost like standing strong and say, I'm not going to do that. Here's the thing. Here's the consciousness. Okay, I'm alive. That fact is my starting point in realizing the presence of myself. My aliveness signifies life, and I feel the life within me as me. This life did not originate in my body. It did not come from my mind or emotions. This eternal life force must be from a higher presence at the very core of my being. And this is called the seeds to plant in consciousness. That's the first one. The second one is, I can think, I can feel. The fact is the second step in realizing the presence of myself. I am intelligent. I am an intelligent being with feelings, yet I cannot create these qualities of life. They must be expressions of a higher consciousness right where I am. The third one is, I have a personal sense of being, yet I sense a higher nature, something more than human. An unlimited mind, unlimited, unbound, and free. An overshadowing spirit, watching, beholding, and being. This feeling of something beyond my personality is the third step in realizing the presence of myself. Okay? And then it goes on, I now take the fourth step, and consciously rise up into the presence of myself. With purpose of mind, I lift my consciousness, and I am moved up, 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 higher and higher. The light is becoming brighter and brighter. I'm ascending into the energy of my magnificent divine self, and I now seek the very appendage of my being. It is good to see me. It is good to know me. I look at me, and I peer as the shining sun, a pure spiritual being, a living presence, an all-knowing mind, and I listen to me. Then we take the meditation, and we go a step like this. This is connected with the angel of the creative wisdom, Isis. All the qualities, God, Jesus, creative mind, creative wisdom, and imagination. How it works here is the meditation goes as, say, I am divine consciousness. I am spirit, soul, and a body of light. And within me are all the powers of the universe, for I am God individualized, the Trinity of God in radiant expression. I embody every ideal of creation, and I am eternally creating that which is good and true and beautiful. I am the kingdom where all things exist, and everything in the world of form is an ideal in my consciousness, a point of energy radiating outward to express the will of God. I am the law of all that is seen and unseen. I am the eternal cause of all that appears. Come closer, and I will tell you of a life beyond imagining. I am speaking to you the mind energy of personality on earth, which has risen into my presence. Listen. Although there appears to be two of us, one from above and one from below, there is, in reality, only a glimmering stream of light. I am you, and you are me. And there is no duality, no separation, except in thought. This magnificent ray of God, I am, has very varying rates of vibration, and the personality that is listening to me now is simply in the lower pulsating. These ideals include the qualities of my being and the appearances of my expression. For I am the law and the cause of the unseen and seen. The divine consciousness, I am, your spiritual consciousness, is the law and the cause of all manifestations. I am the law and cause of wisdom, love, and life. I am the law and cause of health and wholeness. I am the law and cause of righteous relations. I am the law and cause of supply in all its magnified manifest effects, including food, clothing, home, money, and transportation. Nothing good, true, or beautiful exists in the unseen or unseen world that does not have its origin in my consciousness. The beginning of wisdom is to know me. It is to become consciously aware of me. And through this awareness, I will radiate my very being. Through your consciousness of me, the higher you, I will work flowing out into the world to extend the kingdom of harmony. Your conscious awareness and understanding of me puts you in oneness with every ideal in my mind, and those on these points of energy will express through you to reveal an all-sufficiency of all that is good in life. Keep your mind on me, relax in me, know that the greater consciousness of me, the greater infilling of me, of myself, is you, which makes your consciousness a law unto you, reproducing the glory of the kingdom in your world. Be still and know me, yourself. I am now aware of myself. I understand myself. I know myself. And I fully dedicate my life to this God being I am in truth. So therefore, to thyself, to know thyself is truly the beginning of wisdom. And remember that you will have a holy helper who will work with you until the infusion of spiritual energy is complete and the two natures become one. Ask spirit to accompany you into deep inner space to see this beautiful angel. When you make contact, ask what you can do to assist her in opening the gates of wisdom. Then add what she says to any preceding meditation, transforming her words into positive statements of truth. Which is basically what you're going to do here, is you're going to look at the situation. And by doing this meditation, it's opening a gateway. So she's going to be infilling your mind with more creative wisdom to help you understand, to continue to go forward, and to accomplish exactly what you need to do. Life in itself becomes a whole lot easier when you listen to this angel. Which, like they said, the ancients consider her Isis, when it was just one of those things that you see a lot in history of people misinterpreting things as not what we call a, you know, it's an angel. But a lot of people don't look at that. They look at it as a god because it does something more than they can do. That's what this angel is all about, is to help you become just that, yourself. Now, I guess the angels would look at you as a god if you could do these, and this manifestation thing that would throw them off. And that's what happened here with this situation. Everybody considered that this was an angel, but then the Romans and the Greeks looked at them as gods. So it was a misinterpretation. But they're still there. They're still around. These angels still exist, and they still work with you. And this is a very powerful, strong angel, and they all work together. But you can see by separating them out how they work as individuals, so there are certain things that might be blocked, where if you're in a situation of confusion and you don't know which way to go and your directional is off, it could be simply this angel here has a blockage. So they can only develop and help you keep manifesting more confusion. When if you open that up, she can help you clarify things and get yourself back on track. This makes sense, I hope. And like I said, today we're doing a free reading, so as we go through the show, you can focus on this angel, in particular when things come to me, but we're going to also answer questions for you psychically. So, okay. Let's go take some calls, okay, guys? Answer some questions. I'm looking forward to this part, huh? Okay, area code 561, you're on the air, and how are you, and welcome to the show.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm doing very good, how are you?
I'm okay. I wanted to see, I had an interview on Friday with a chiropractor, and there were two positions, one he had available and another one was at a physical therapist's office, and I wanted to see if you felt I would either one of those.
Boy, I feel like you're really, you're having a lot of time, a hard time right now. I feel like you're really drained.
I'm just really tired. Yeah, I'm just, it's been a long time, and I'm just juggling, looking for a job and going to school at night and living off student loans, and I'm getting deeper and deeper in debt and just really taking
a bit. Okay, what I want you to do real quickly is I want you to take the word debt and get rid of it. You're not getting yourself in anything, are you? And try to do that. I tell people all the time, work with this, okay? It's the idea of changing your thinking. A lot of times with things that we say spontaneously, work against us. So it's just the idea of catching yourself when you're doing that so we won't reproduce those things. And I also keep getting chiropractor. So with the situation in the hand, because you're talking about, I'm trying to understand the two positions you're talking about, okay? Because the one that comes across when you're working with is chiropractor, but you're also saying there's another position. As in, what was the other position?
Well, he owns a chiropractor office, but he's got his girlfriend has a physical therapist office, and she's looking for somebody. So he told me if I didn't get that position, would I be interested in working for her? And I told him yes.
I'm just saying, when I pick up the situation, I keep picking that you're going to be working with her.
With her?
But it seems like that, what's the situation with the chiropractor? I really get the impression you might be working with her, but I still think that you still have a chance with the other one as well.
I really liked him. I thought he had a really good, his office, I had a really good atmosphere. The women that worked for him, seemed to really enjoy working for him. He seems very easygoing, and I always work better with men than women. Not that I don't know what it is. I just really work better. That's why I really would like his office more than hers. But I didn't want to say, "Oh no, I only want to work for you," because I didn't want to do myself out of a job.
That's true too, sweetie. But you got to have faith too.
I just got to, wherever I'm, I know I could be utilized in both areas. It's just, for some reason, I just work better with men.
I'm just saying, with the situation I'm picking up on, it's just the idea of working on taking limitations off yourself instead of imposing them on you. I'm not saying you're a bad person or a good person. I'm just saying take a life review of sitting looking at things. Because I look at the situation of how you've been going through a lot of things where you almost like you haven't taken any time for yourself. No playtime. I see things very clearly. And the ideal, the situation, you work better with men, doesn't mean you wouldn't be put in a position where that could be proven wrong as well. Of utilizing all your talents, no matter who you're working with, it's the idea of focusing on the essence of these people that are around you, which would also point you out to pointing you inwards to also know your essence as well too. Is that the outer extremities is not what attracts people? It's the inner part. Even when I don't care what it is, work. Playtime, going to the right restaurant, whatever it is, these are all interactions, and they're all there for a reason, and they all work the same way. Energy, bouncing off energy, reflections of whoever we are. So if you go to a restaurant and something bad happens, or you get food poisoning, everybody has a tendency to point fingers when they should be looking at themselves and saying, could you have avoided that? Is there something that told you not to go there, so therefore you wouldn't have happened? So the idea of accidents and situations like you're talking about where you think you're making a choice is the idea of going in the right direction and listening to guidance. And when we saw it today with the angel of creative wisdom is the idea of seeing past the illusion, having the wisdom to know that when things come up and things are going on, of which direction to go into, because it's going to benefit you more. And just let that whole thing go and take any kind of thing that could be considered a limitation. or any kind of stress or any kind of situation of realizing it's the lack of faith in oneself. To thyself be true. That's the strongest statement there ever could be. Once you're true with yourself, everybody else will be true to you as well. I get the impression that you might actually work with this guy anyway, but I still see interaction with her.
Wow, so maybe it would be a position in both offices?
Yeah, like because the one thing I would sit here and say to you is a bouncing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could actually utilize the whole thing and help her as much as you help him. And I would sit here and say probably working with him more as a basis of
mm-hmm.
operation, but working with her, and almost it could be a temporary thing because she hasn't found anybody yet. And you qualify and you fit the bill of working that whole thing out. Because I feel like you could definitely be working with both. I just want you to remember who you are and what is going on about. It's when you, because I mean, we talked about this the other day. It's the idea of missing opportunities. No such thing. It's things that didn't happen because it wasn't meant to happen. And try to be that kind of focused and say, okay, it was just sending me into a different direction. I'm trying. It's like the universe is leading you in the right direction to find what you want. So when things don't pan out, as you put it, or disappointments and that kind of stuff, that's the human aspect of pointing into their thing and saying, well, I didn't get what I wanted. When actually you're being directed into the right direction to find just that. This is a very workable situation that you're talking about. So whichever way it takes you, make the best of it and understand you're going there for a reason.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying, divine order says everything is how it needs to be right now. Look past the illusion and see the underlying order, okay? Because it might be one of those things I've proven to you. I've gone through the same thing myself. I told myself, I can't stand living in Ohio because I can never be successful here. But here I still sit, okay? And all of a sudden, something popped in my head and said, no, what I needed to learn is I can be successful anywhere because success depends upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying to you. I hope that makes a lot of sense to you, because the one thing I got the most here was working with Archangel Michael. Cut loose anything in the past that's making you think any less of yourself, because it's just past fears and stuff like that are connected to you. I would even suggest if you could get a past life reading to actually pinpoint certain things about yourself of why you do that, to help you understand, to cut loose a lot of things to keep moving forward. And what you're actually heading toward this year is very distinctive part of your life of being successful, okay? Because this one here says you are a powerful, loving, and creative child of God. You are very loved, so love yourself as much as well. And you're very clear.
Do you have a frame? When do you think these people might call me?
I do. I feel like it's going to be any time. Just open your mind. I feel like once you open your mind up, you can do a couple of techniques I've told other clients where you just sit down and so you cross your legs and just put your hands out in front of you and open your arms and say, I'm open to receive. I'm ready for the manifestation of this to happen, no matter which way it goes, because I know it's the best for me and best for everybody else as well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for the call, and you have a great night.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. I love a sequel. I'm sorry, guys. I'm breaking into Dean Martin here. Here we go. It's going. Okay, there we go. Here we go. Next caller, area code 337. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Raquel Fontenot.
Raquel.
And hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was just wondering. I'm just sitting here in my state, and I'm kind of confused of where my life is because I'm kind of like in a block. Like, I feel like I'm blocked from moving forward.
What would you think that block might be?
The reason I
ask the question, because most of us don't realize that we actually have the answer until we actually say it.
I just feel like I don't want to be around people. And what's funny is I know I have a calling on being an evangelist, but it's like I'm sitting down, I'm reading my Bible, I'm learning my Bible, you know, and God told me to start from the beginning, and that's what I'm doing, and it's kind of like I'm at a standstill.
Okay.
It's like I don't feel like I'm moving forward. I mean, everything's kind of falling apart. I'm not sure where I should be going. Should I just stay still, or should I try to move forward, or
okay?
I just pretty much need answers.
Okay. What I want you to do is, if you would please, take 3 long deep breaths, breathe in your nose and breathe out your mouth. Calm your energy down. So you're just like, you're like in hyperspace and you're just like flying, or hyperspeed, sorry.
Yeah.
The question I want to ask you is, you said God said start at the beginning. That when God said start at the beginning, where did you start?
I started at the beginning of my Bible, not Exodus, because that's what I'm in right now.
I understand that, sweetie, but when I sit here and when you said that, the answer came to me very clearly. Start at the beginning. The beginning is not at the Bible. The beginning is you.
Okay.
You need to work with you. You need to, people. I've noticed a lot of times people want to read the Bible, want to learn the Bible. That's great, but it's like a map. You read the map, you find out where you're going, and then after a while, you don't need the map anymore because you're living it. You know simply exactly where to go. And people always say the Bible says. No, the Bible doesn't say anything. God says.
Yes.
Okay. And for some reason, everybody keeps, you know, the Bible is a very important. It's not important. It's the word that's in it that's important. Not that freaking leather thing on it, that gold writing. Not the things that are outlined in the Bible. It's the ideal itself. It's a very strong, powerful message in itself, is saying this is a very powerful word. But you have to live it. You have to live what's going on in the Bible so you can study it and study it and study it. Because I've actually had friends that I know when I was living in Tennessee, they could read the Bible from front to back to back to front. But the one thing I noticed about them was they didn't live it. I mean, one guy was actually beating his wife and was trying to control every aspect of everything he could go on. He lied to her, he did this and the other, and then he wondered how come people didn't have any kind of confidence in him. They knew he was good at reading the Bible, and he could pull all kinds of context out of that Bible for you to suit whatever situation that was going on in your life. He was very good at that. But
yes.
I think that, on the other hand, if he would have actually reflected exactly what he was trying to do, it would have been powerful. It's the same, because think about this, seriously. If you look at the situation of Jesus, Jesus never ran across the stage dancing and doing all kind of crazy stuff like preachers do. He was sitting there. He spoke the truth. The truth has, we talked about this before, with the law of attraction and the energy itself that resonates a certain frequency. And so does the truth. The truth has power to it because it has an energy of its own. And when people hear it, they're drawn to it. So the situation here is you. As in, knowing thyself, be true, means the ideal. You know who you are, then you know God, because you're made in the image. It is that simple. And the situation was, what I was saying before, was the ideal. The answer came to me very quickly when you said that. Start at the beginning. And I got the answer was beginning starts with you. You can read the Bible, but also in the same situation, reflect and ask yourself, how, you know, because I've told, give you a prime example of people trying to attract relationships in their lives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they have this nice little long list of what they want.
Yes.
But they don't take the time to look at the list to see if they are that.
Yeah.
And once they realize that they aren't, or if they are, they either embrace it or they go to the point of trying to be that. So with the situation, I think the ideal, you got the right point reading the Bible, but also the ideal of living it as you read it and be just that. You know, with the situation of falling into the whole thing, of where you're led, how you feel, what you think you should do in those situations. I do believe in the Bible, we can't leave the whole thing.
Yes.
But if you sit here and look at Jesus and how he went through things, which I thought was kind of funny how people denounced like psychics, when Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do when he got here.
Yes.
And he lived that life, and he made decisions according to what he already knew. And
yes,
so that.
Okay.
Go ahead, sorry. No, sir.
Oh, no, I was going to say, and he didn't go on what other people wanted him to do, and that's a lot of what my downfall is.
And he also didn't read a Bible.
Yes, yeah, no.
He listened to his guidance. God and him were one and one, so therefore, think about that for a minute. Jesus said, you are me, I am you, and we come from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Yes. That means that they're one, they're together. I mean, like, if you hear what God's saying to you, then you should just go on what he says, not what, you know, I mean, the Bible is, you know,
says
written.
What it says. It's like any kind of other teaching tool, you know, but do you think about this. When you went to high school, when you was in school, you learned all kind of history, but do you carry those books everywhere you go?
No.
No, you don't. So the Bible is something you'll be, as I call it, reference to go back and forth. And you can read it from front to back and back to front. But I guarantee when you start living it, you get to a point where you just know. And then God will, it's like God will point things out to you. And I've had the Bible fallen open to a couple of chapters, too, of certain things that happen. But it's not the only thing he works with. He works with everything because guess what? He created everything in the first place. So to say that he wouldn't, and the Bible is a holy content, it's holy material.
Yes.
It doesn't mean nothing if people don't live it. And that's what I'm saying with you, because I feel like you're very, very intuitive, very strong. You know, the idea of what you're going to do and what you're going to do with. But I just feel like it's going to be more of a realization of finding yourself than just reading the Bible alone. You understand what that means, right?
I understand exactly what you mean. Yes, I mean, because that's, I just need kind of see focus, but I just really need to focus on God and me right now and focus on living the way he wants me to live. And it's not for what the world wants me to do right now. And that's kind of what I'm like, I don't want to make anyone mad and bringing up something that might make someone else angry. But when God says this is what it is and there's no other way, then I believe that's what I should do and not care what other people think of what I say or how I live, because that's how God wants me to live. He wants me to do right by others. He wants me to care for others, and that's how my heart's always been that way, to take care of others.
Mm-hmm.
And to put me last. I'm always last. Even in my family, I'm last. I've always put my kids and my husband and everyone else in front of me, friends, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God just wants me to show that I'm a leader, and I know I am, but in my flesh, I want to be a follower.
Right.
And I'm just trying to find myself right now, really.
I understand, sweetie, but see, you're not a follower. None of us are followers. We're all leaders to lead people into the light.
Yes.
So I understand what you're saying, but don't let yourself be fooled into thinking that you're a follower. Because, I mean, even the idea with God and Jesus, what the idea of following, I'm trying to put this in right words, of following. It's more of following a word and following a path, but not exactly following anyone per se.
Yeah.
Because you're not following God, you're honoring God.
Yes.
The difference between a leader and a dictator is a dictator will tell you this is what you're going to do, and God doesn't do that. God is a father, and the reason we even choose to follow him in any kind of sense more because of the way he shows his love toward us, just like any father would do. And he's leading you in the right way, and sometimes we do interpret things in a different way. I'm just saying, in your situation, you made a choice, so therefore you went down there and did your little thing. And I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form it's a wrong decision to go by. I'm just saying with the situation in hand, it's like working, it's like being a co-creator. You're working together.
Yes.
So he's giving you a bunch of stuff to work with, so therefore you guys can work on the same level.
That's great. That's great.
So I'm just saying to you, I've read the Bible, and there's a lot of things in it that are great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, shoot, I would say 98% of, and even every year it seems like it's getting more, to realize that so much information comes from the Bible itself, and it's a great way to refer to, but also living it also has a lot of power behind it too. Because if you look at Jesus, who lived every word of it, everybody seemed to just take it to verbatim. No one questioned anything. And I thought that was kind of impressive. No one's questioning that at all. And I was interested the other day. I said, what if Jesus was married? To me, it seems like I don't see anything wrong with that. And we've paid so much attention to deciphering and this and that and who translated this, who translated that, all kind of stuff. When we should just take it for what it is.
Yes.
If you see things in the Bible that you think that it may have influenced, then fine, don't believe them. But if you see things in there that ring so true, why is it so hard to sit there and use the other part to back up and say, well, maybe that's not true either, when you know for a fact it is? And I think that is what I think you're all about. I think you're to find yourself as well, but in the process of finding yourself, you're also going to help other people do the same as an example, but as a role model, as a blueprint, as exactly what you can do. Because you've come from You have come from a lot of chaos, and your roots are very intense. Am I right?
Yes, you're absolutely on point. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I think it's the greatest thing in the world to do. I'm just saying the answer to you is the ideal. In the process of let it go where Spirit's going to take you. Okay? So if you have a tendency to leave your Bible at home, don't go crazy and go, oh, shoot. Ask yourself, how much do you remember? Maybe you want to remember. I know for a fact when I'm put in certain situations, I've had people come in when I was living in Colorado, I had people come in my shop who were dead bent on trying to convince me of they were right and I was wrong. And then all of a sudden it turned into a fellowship of people's opinions and ideals and how they feel and the way they perceive things and their love for God. I thought it was kind of a cool thing to happen, but it happened in the midst of, okay? It wasn't something I planned on it. It was like I went there, I have a strong belief in what I believe in, and I just told these people how I felt. In the process of doing that, they must have felt something because everybody let down their walls, and everybody sit around and talked about it. This guy even came to visit me all the time to visit, you know, and that was kind of one of the things that, you know, I thought it was just amazing, you know, that they're actually coming to visit me now when they were dead bent on coming down there and trying to convince me of the word. They kind of like, I think they must have felt something in that mist there, and it was like that all the time. So what I'm telling you,
kids.
How about jump out of my freaking hide? Okay. With the situation at hand, what I'm trying to say to you is, you know, the ideal of having the Bible and having the information that you need is because people are going to debate you and challenge you. So the more wisdom, the more knowledge that you have, the more wisdom you'll have to you know, proceed like you need to. Like we're talking about the angel of creative wisdom. That's what you're doing. You okay?
Yes.
Do you know?
I'm sorry. I have my kids.
You're fine.
Distracting me. I'm sorry.
You need to find a babysitter.
I know. Yeah, that never happens.
No, don't say that. You know, we're going to read the Bible and we're going to have faith. Then we have to understand that God said one thing, that you have not because you ask not. But also in the same context, if you know, the power of the tongue, I was sitting there saying things like that, could work against you. You don't want that to happen, do you? You want to sit there and make sure that you can do everything you want to. So the babysitter that you're looking for is the ideal. Put it out there and let the universe do what it's got to do, okay? I guarantee you're going to be amazed this year with some of the things that happen. But I'm just saying, have faith in what you're reading too as well.
Yes, definitely.
The more faith you have in that, the more you're going to find yourself.
That's and I think that's what I'm looking for. So I know what God has put in my heart to do, and I just want, you know, I guess I want more, you know, confirmation that I shouldn't be looking for any other confirmation from anyone because I know what God put in my heart. It's just, I just feel like, you know, this is a standstill, but I guess this is more of a growing part. You know, I feel like it's a growing part now that I'm doing. And as what you said, you know, it's not just in the Bible. It's what God said for me to do is start off with me first. And it's pretty much, I guess, listening to what he has to say and learn from him himself, from God himself.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I've always sat there and said psychic abilities. Everybody has psychic ability because that's how we interpret guidance.
Yes.
So when you start to think about that, kind of looks at it differently, don't it? Especially when people say they can't read themselves, when it's actually what it was there for in the first place. It's actually pay attention.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying to you. So you can sit here and look at yourself and say, I'm a psychic, but you could also sit here and look at yourself as a spiritual advisor, whatever makes you feel more comfortable. I kind of like the spiritual part myself.
Yeah.
And I've actually used that myself, too. When people say, well, you're more of a spiritual advisor, aren't you? I was like, hey, I like that.
It seems to ring
true more than anything else. And also, guys, realize one thing. Psychic means being people's energy. And sometimes you can look at it as a good thing or a bad thing. I think there's certain situations of duality where there are people out there that use their abilities to do bad things, reading people's minds and playing on their fears and that kind of stuff. But there's other people. Like, I feel like I'm trying to do is get like you and say, hey, if I never hear from you again, I hope that you come into your own, know exactly what you need to do, and you're doing it.
Yes.
I don't want, you know, because people are thinking, I guess it's another fear thing, you know, thinking you can come back to me and we're together. And it's not true. I mean, we can sit here and examine all kinds of past lives you've been through and that kind of stuff. But,
yes.
But you know, I think with your situation, a lot of things have come to pass where you don't need to do that.
Yes.
Some people don't need that kind of guidance. I really believe that. I believe it's a very strong tool. I just feel like in your situation, I think you come in to know, and you just need to pay more attention about exactly what you said. You've been guided. You've been given your message. You know exactly what you need to do.
Yes.
So therefore, you don't need to do that. So I would definitely find a babysitter.
Yeah, I know. Well, I thank you.
And I want you to go out there and do what you got to do. I'm just saying. I guess the word I'm trying to say here is when you're reading the Bible, let it resonate through you. Okay? Don't sit there and... Some evangelists try to sit there and let the tone of their voice and what they're saying get through to people. When I believe if you sit there and translate it in a spiritual way through you, how you feel, how you love God, and you're using these things from the Bible to get that point across, it comes across a whole lot louder coming through you instead of going at people.
Yeah.
And I think you're the very vessel for that. Okay?
Because I've been through a lot in my life, and I could understand from drug addictions, you name it, I probably been through it. So I could talk to a lot of people and feel their pain, and not, you know, I'm not really book smart, but life smart. I am extremely been through a lot, so I think I've got a lot of street smarts and life living smarts that with people that are in pain and that's been through a lot, lost a lot of family members, been through a lot of hurt. I know I could help them, and I feel that's, you know, something else that God's pushing me to do, to be able to talk to others and just be there to listen to them, because I have tons of friends that just call me just to tell me their problems, and I'll sit there and listen to them and kind of try to counsel them in life. And it's life's not peaches and cream, but yes, as long as we live in God's words and we believe that, you know, He is our Father, and He is the first one we should ever go to, then.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, with the situation of peaches and cream and all kinds of stuff, it is that way. I mean, if you read the Bible, it talks about promising the Jews just that, a land of milk and honey, and what messed it up was them.
Yeah.
Seriously, read that one part of the Bible where it talks about them going out every morning when they were in one spot and collecting food. That food actually came from the sky because God was feeding them when it was in the desert. It only lasted until noon. It was like putting them in a position and saying, okay, this is the way it is. Get your butts up. It's time for breakfast. If you don't get out there and do it, it's not going to be there.
Yeah.
And it was just like a discipline. But at the same time, He was taking care of them. And if you really look in this lifetime, too, if people have that kind of faith, it's the same thing can happen to them, too, as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes if people look at the Jews and go, well, you guys had it good. And you just had a tendency to take advantage, you know, how would you put this? Not take advantage of it, but kind of not really appreciate the blessings that were handed to you. But if you look at the whole thing, too, there were people, you know, in the masses, too, like anything else. There are people that are very strong, strongly dedicated. There was a couple other people that wasn't. Those kind of people lukewarm. So it kind of gives you an example of all the kind of variations just in the midst of the Jewish people. So instead of looking at them as Jewish people, look at the context of people that you might see in that context of those people that reflects back to you personally. That's what I'm saying. And I see that with the Bible, where there's certain things that just stand out true to you and it makes you look at other people in different ways. But you don't seem to judge them. You kind of you're looking past the illusion. And as we told you before, look past the illusion, see the reality. The reality is of who you really are. You're a spiritual person. You're not trying to become a spiritual person. You're coming back to your own. You're coming back into who you was in the first place. I mean, trace it back to the roots. Adam. What was Adam?
Yeah.
Adam was created perfect. and he was still perfect. No matter what happened in the garden, he was still perfect. Just sit and read the Bible. It says it all through there. He was perfect. What was the problem was, it was his thinking. I swear that. You know, when you sit and resonate, that's all this law of attraction and kind of stuff. You really look at the whole thing. Did Adam actually go down the garden? I read that Bible. I don't see where he said that. It's more how they felt. They didn't feel like they were worthy. And if you look at how people are today, that's the biggest thing that keeps people from actually manifesting anything in their lives that they really want to. They don't feel like they deserve it.
Yeah.
So working with the angels, as I've been sitting here working with and talking about, it's like they're coming, trying to bring it back into our own and to show us who we are, who we were, to bring us back into our own, to say, okay, and even Jesus said that, you will do greater works than I do.
Yeah.
Peter was walking on the water. Why? Because he had faith. And Jesus said this, I didn't do anything. It was your faith. Was it faith in Jesus? Well, Jesus just pointed out who you was and reminded you who you are. So is it really faith in Jesus or just faith in Jesus, what he is, to help us realize we are, so therefore we have faith in ourselves? That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely.
So there you go. It's a self-realization of who you really are, but not in a selfish way. Love thyself. Because it says in the Bible, love your neighbors, you love yourself. Love yourself as you love your neighbors. You can't do one without the other.
Yeah.
So love yourself and go out there and do the same thing for other people, what you're going to learn in the Bible, what you've been going through. And like you said, with all your things, you've gone back and forth. And I guarantee you, you will not have any wants, needs, and desires, and even think about it, because you'll be living it.
That's great. That's great.
So, yeah, you feel like you don't see anything so much. So continue to do it.
I will.
I love to hear from you, but just see how things go. Boom, boom, boom. I'm sorry, I had to do that. But seriously, keep in touch with us, and if you ever want to sit down and do a private thing, let me know.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you have a great night. You too. Thank you. I really appreciate the call.
No problem. No problem. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Go on to our next caller. That's area code 562. You are on the air. How are you? I see your hand up. Hello.
Hi. It's Steve in California. How you doing?
Steve, you sound familiar.
What'd you say?
I said you sound kind of familiar. You sound familiar. Why am I having trouble saying that?
It's
I've called the show.
Huh? I was wondering, because you mentioned Adam and Eve. Do you believe, do you take that story literally, or do you feel it's symbolic?
I take it literally. One thing I've done, I talk to people and say, okay, this thing about past lives. Okay? When you think about past lives and the situation of things going on the way they do and back and forth, that kind of thing, every time I would focus on that aspect of where we came from, it kind of resonates with me. So I have a hard time not believing it. I don't believe the way they put it, as in certain ways of, I think it's interpreted differently, because they want you to make you feel like we all have to suffer. And I look at it more like as self-inflicted. You know, Adam made a mistake, he knew it, and he decided to leave the garden because he didn't feel like he was worthy of that anymore. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just wondering, as I just feel different. Mm-hmm. I think it's just symbolic.
I'm just saying with the situation, I go past opinions, and I'm not saying you're wrong or right. I'm saying you should really hang on to what you believe as well. I'm just saying from the resonance resonating of doing past lives, when I picture that and I see that, I think that it's one of those things that rings true. I just think there are some variations in the story. And you're right, there are certain things that you can go on the History Channel and pick up the because there is a proven fact with that, the idea of the serpent and that kind of stuff. You really don't hear anything about the devil throughout the Old Testament per se. You see it a couple times, but nothing like you do in the New Testament, where it's like really putting it out there. So I think it's one of those things that it's the ego, I think, is the devil. And if there is a devil, the less you use your ego, the less he has to use against you. I'll just say, I had a situation with a conversation of people walking in my shop, and I would sit there and say, I believe in Jesus and God, and this is what I believe. And they're like, okay, that's great. They loved my story. They loved how I felt, and they loved my passion for the whole thing. But they'd always come back with the devil. Do you believe in the devil? And I was like, no, I don't. And then they'd come back and say, well, he exists. And I said, I never said he didn't. I just don't believe in him. Can't believe in two things. You either believe in one or the other. So therefore, I don't. And then the whole situation of looking at things clearly and saying, okay, was there an Adam and was there an Eve? I mean, there was actually, you probably heard the story yourself too, Steve, right? I mean, there was actually somebody before Eve?
Oh, yeah, sure, I've heard it.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually proof of that too as well. If you look at there's duality with women. But men seem to have a certain trait. But women have seemed to be duality within female. You know what I mean? There's two different distinct personalities with females. But males usually have this one thing where they're always focusing on it. So there's a thing. And if you think about it, a lot of people, I've actually seen a couple women who actually want to be men because of being able to do that. So there must be something to it, huh?
Right.
You having fun at work?
Oh, I'm off work right now.
Okay, I was just wondering because I heard all this stuff in the background.
But I try to have fun at work. We try to make it fun because it can be kind of monotonous. I'm like the laugh of the party, and I always keep people laughing.
That's good, man. Keep it up.
Why did you bring that up?
I just feel like that you can bring an extra level to where you're working at, and even to the point where you might actually leave there because of who you are. And that's why, I mean, that's what I get at. That's what I pick up, so... Camping?
Yeah, I would like very much to. I would like very much to.
Yeah,
the time
I'm just
is
saying. I'm just saying, be completely who you are. Be confident in what you're doing and keep going forward and don't be scared to speak when you need to be spoken. And I just feel like you're going to have someone cross your path and take you in a totally different direction that you're going to look back on this year going, whoa. I used to be there, but now I'm up here. And it's that, I mean, that's just the way it comes to me. I don't know exactly what it is. I just feel like and it's not the idea of looking down on the people you used to work with. It's the idea of looking down on the situation of feeling, of coming to a conclusion that you was meant for more. Because you have that questioning about you. Does that make sense, Steve?
Could you please say that one more time, what you said, the last sentence?
Okay, the last sentence was, it's like I said before, it's not like you're looking down on anybody. You're looking down on a situation of realizing that you was meant for more.
Exactly. You're right on the money.
And that's what you have a problem with. You have a question mark going, gosh, why am I still here? But I guarantee you, right now, that's just not you. It's a lot of people going, why am I still here? Because they know something's there, just about ready to break through, and it's going to. You're talking about
it's okay for me to still be here because the divine timing is not... that yet?
Yeah, exactly, because I'm sitting here right now doing the same thing. I'm like, I'm in Ohio. I'm trying to figure out, why am I still here? Well, I'm here. That's the point. What is it about? It could be simply just appreciating the fact that I'm here, and that I can be successful no matter where I'm at. In the process of doing that, people are going to notice that, and therefore I'm going to advance just by being me and doing and putting myself wholeheartedly no matter where I'm at, no matter what state I'm in, to do just that. Because, I mean, the biggest message I've gotten from my angels is to keep pouring myself into this show, keep going forward and doing this kind of work. And I can't look at the illusion of not having money, because by doing that, I'm focusing on the lack of, and I don't want to do that. I want to keep focusing on going forward, you know, keep those goals in my head. I'm going to do four $100 wreaths today and say that every day and, you know, put down another financial blessing coming before the end of the week. Another financial blessing is going to happen before the end of this day. And you could take the same thing with your situation, that a financial opportunity is going to happen for me, just for me being me. And it's going to happen before the end of the week.
Exactly. Yeah, I visualize a gold energy flowing into my crown every day.
Oh, yeah.
What part of Ohio?
This is called hell. I'm just joking. But
because I'm from Cleveland originally.
Yeah, boy, talking about hell. But just my interpretation. Sorry, guys.
That was a good line, though. That was a really good line.
But
really, what part of Ohio?
the part that's on fire. No, I'm actually in a place called Circleville, Ohio. I would say
that's down south, right?
Yes, that's I'm actually about 45 minutes south of Columbus.
Yeah, okay. I've been meaning to ask you on your show page, your picture. You're never smiling. What's going on with that?
I'm in Ohio. Okay, what I should do is I should definitely change that, guy, since you brought that up. Now, let me ask you another question real quick. Have you heard my music that I play before the show, when the show comes on? Have you heard
I tuned in kind of late. I tuned in late.
Okay, well, I guess I'm not going to get a good opinion about that because you haven't heard it, but but I was like, I was kind of funny because what was so funny about the whole thing was when I got the music for the show, I never realized what I was actually doing because my show is called Psychic Journeyman. People call me Psychic Journeyman. And actually, the song I've been using is an old Journey song. So, and I never thought about that until after the fact I've done it. I'm sort of going, oh, that kind of cool. It's Journey. Majestic. Journey Majestic. That's what it is. And it's an instrumental for my journey. And every time I hear that song, I always think of angels, and that's why I put it there. Yep.
Hello? Okay, but what does that have to do with my question?
What question was that? What part of Ohio am I in?
Well, on your show page, on your picture, you look very threatening and angry and intense.
It's from all my clients. I took that picture before I did any cleansings. But since you said something about it, I always say when people bring things to my attention, I change them. And I will get a picture on there, and I'll have my hair done and stuff, and I'll do a smile.
Because that is a newer picture of you.
Yes, it is a newer picture of me. And the reason I did it, because I was like looking at the picture going, it's more me being myself, as in the way I carry myself, and I'm just serious. I did have a picture on there where I do have a picture where I'm actually have my fingertips on my forehead when I'm focusing. And
I've seen that one.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool, but, you know, you're right. I do want to get a different thing across there saying, I'm telling everybody else to be more playful. And they look at my picture going, well, you know, should he take his own advice? So,
do you remember that? Do you remember that show, Green Acres?
Green Acres. Yeah, Green Acres.
Is the place
to
be? You always remind me, and I mean this in a nice way. You remind me of Ebb, not because you're dumb or anything, but you just sound like him sometimes.
Ebb? Oh, that was the guy who was always smiling and talking. The one that kept the super tractor stuff, right? Yeah, I love that guy. I love that personality. Because it reminds me of some of the women I've actually that show reminds me of some women I've actually been married to. I actually had to go up the pole to get a phone, just because they wanted a phone and no place else to put it. But I just thought it was
that show is not my favorite, but it's the show that makes me laugh the most of all the shows probably. Just
heck
something about it, because it's so absurd. It's so absurd, you know.
Yeah, the characters and how the self out. You probably never see that. But, think about that.
The talking pig and Mr. Haney.
I don't like shows like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie for one reason. I think they're great shows, except for one thing. Think about this. Would you really tell your genie not to do those things? I wouldn't. Would I be living in a freaking one bedroom house that looks like a freaking, you know, a shock treatment?
Exactly. It's crazy. That's craziness. Nobody would do that. But Tony.
I'm sorry, but it makes me mad because I'm trying to focus on helping people to manifest the life that they want. And to watch television of how humans have a tendency to put limitations on everything. Because seriously, if you trace the story back about the genie, there are no limitations to the wishes. It's just, what's your wish? Your wish is my command. That's all it was. I mean, some human come along and said, you know something? That's just too easy. So this makes you think about it. If you only had three wishes, what would you wish for? Three more wishes. Or go to extremes and say,
That's a good one.
I would wish for unlimited wishes and then get to town and wishing for this, that, and the other. I would sit there and say this to you guys. I would not wish for a wife. I already tried that, and it hasn't worked out too well. So we're working with God and the angels to manifest that. So the genie, I think, would be like an extension of me in some aspect of working with God. That's like the genie is your higher self. So you put those two together, and then you kind of go, okay, let's work together on this, and what can we come up with? You know, be like talking to each other and having a nice conversation of, you know, okay, what are you going to wish for? I think you should wish for this. You know, that kind of thing, working together. And the genie, there are some crazy stories. I think they're all like human interpretations as well. What do you think, Steve?
But let me ask you this. In your own life, when you're impatient for things to manifest, what do the angels tell you about being so impatient? What do they say?
Be patient, which makes me kind of like sets me off sometimes. I mean, I was sitting in my apartment when I was in Colorado, and I was like, here I am sitting here. I had this book by John Randolph Rice called The Alchemy Handbook, and I was doing everything to the letter. I took out each part of my life. And sit down and ask myself exactly what I wanted in each one of those parts of my life. Boom, boom, boom. And then following the letter, I followed working with Isis, and basically it's the angel of created wisdom, working with that to see past the illusion, to actually give myself confidence to realize I could manifest those things. I was just doing all this stuff. And then one day I'm sitting there going, here I am sitting in this freaking apartment. I have a freaking chair the legs have fallen off of, and I have an inflatable raft. I have an inflatable mattress that I actually came in one day and jumped on and didn't realize the sucker had deflated and made a heck of a bang on the freaking floor. And next thing you know, my books went flying everywhere, and I was sitting there saying, okay, guys, this is the way it is. I've done this, this, and this to the letter. What is going on? No, 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 no. And it was like, you need patience, and you need to understand that it's like going back and saying, okay, remember when you were hitchhiking? What did you learn? Oh, I learned that when I asked for a ride, that you guys were always lining up the right ride to get me where I needed to go, which might take 5 minutes, might take 2 hours. But you were lining it up all for me, for the best of me. And they go, so what's going on now? Okay, I hate that cycle thing where it comes right back to me. And said, okay, I got it. So what I got to do? They said, let go of this whole thing and just let us do our work. And next thing I know, my landlord, I did it. I just sat back one day. I said, okay, I would like to have a new bed. I would like to have a new bed. I'm not going to sit there and I don't want a hand-me-down. I want a brand new bed. I want to pay. Do you know my landlord came up the next day, 2 days later, and said, we just got these beds in. They're still in the plastic. Would you like to have one? Excuse me?
Okay. Incredible.
Yeah, so they're sitting there telling me this stuff, and as soon as I let go and stop thinking about it, because, see, the idea of focusing on the situation, not working out the way I want to, is still focusing on the lack of.
Right.
So I sit and go, okay, I got it. The whole thing is one of those things of sitting there focusing and say, okay, you're right. I do need to have more patience to realize that everything's working in my best interest. So if it doesn't happen today, and I'm serious, they would tell me things like this. I was sitting one day, I finally got me up. I mean, it was like this one apartment. I felt like I kind of took on a little more than I should have. But I'm sitting there, and I hadn't eaten in 4 days because I just ran out of everything, and I was going by day. I was working. And then I sit there and say, okay, guys, what's going on? And they said, well, look at the bright side. Do some fasting. Fast for the next time until things kick in. So I started fasting. And actually, it was one of the best experiences I ever did because I took a shower. And it was an experience because when I started fasting, it's almost like they put me in the situational purpose to get rid of the toxins in my body to realize how psychic I was and to embrace that. And I thought it was so
cool.
And
there's something that you needed to do that you probably wouldn't have done otherwise, you know?
Exactly. They put me in a situation where I had to.
Exactly.
And then once I experienced it, I wanted to do more of it. But it also taught me that moment to try to find the positive in everything because I did. You know, there was a situation. And then my friend called me. This is kind of funny too. I'm sitting there going, okay, angel, I did my fasting, I did my whole thing. I sit there and took a shower. I could feel everything. I could feel every bead of water. It was just incredible. Just a psychedelic thing. And then I said, okay, fine, I've done all those things. But, you know, it's been like 5-6 days, and I would just love to have a pizza. You know,
exactly.
Something like that. So
exactly.
My friend calls from Washington State. And she said, I know I owe you some money because you've done a lot of readings for me and stuff like that. And she goes, I have no money. But she said, I have this credit card, and I could send you food. And I was in there going, are you serious? That was so freaky because I was just saying earlier, if somebody could just do something, you know, I basically opened my mind and said, I don't care how I get paid for readings. I just want to continue to do them. And any kind of compensation would be welcome. And all of a sudden this lady comes in and sends me like $30 worth of food from a pizza place.
Incredible. So how do you get all your energy to do all these readings? I mean, how do you generate all this energy?
Well, there's actually a source that you can actually tap into. They call it universal energy, which is actually spiritual energy. It's unlimited. So once you tap into that whole thing, you have all this freaking energy. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I do after the show's over with. It's like, but at the same time,
you're zapped with energy, yeah.
Yeah, but as soon as somebody calls me up and says, hey, I want to do a reading, all of a sudden my energy shoots up.
Right, right.
So, therefore, it's one of those things of excitement of doing this kind of work also works in my favor as well. So that's why I always tell people, go do what you really love to do, because I guarantee you that love energy is going to get you, it's going to keep you going, it's going to keep you in that kind of realm, and the more you love it, the more you're going to generate, the more you're going to be able to do it. So we can sit and talk about
it. It's always great talking to you, but I got to do something now. But let me stay on mute, okay? I really appreciate it. And thanks for reading me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I'll put you right back on mute there, dude. You have a good night. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see. Legal. And right now, guys, what we're going to do is we are doing readings today, and if you guys will call in at 646-721-9031. We'll do some more calls, and we'll answer more questions for you, and we'll get on to the next thing. I'm sorry, guys, we're taking a little bit of time with each caller, but I just feel like we're all crossing paths for a reason, so I try to give it as much as I can, as quick as I can. So if you all with me, it'd be great. Call in the show. The number here is 646-721-9031. And if you doesn't matter what kind of questions you got going, just call in and ask. Where the heck? I'm sorry. And I'm going to, all right. We were talking about the angel of creative energy. I'm sorry, creative energy. Creative wisdom, which is energy itself. It's a very intense feeling to tap into that kind of energy. So, I'm here to answer any of your questions. So if you get a call in here, it's, 646-721-9031. And also I have the chat room where I also do private readings too as well. We have a special going on until the end of February where it's $10 for an hour and $5 an hour for the people who do the show. And the way it goes, it's like this. If you call the show, you can get a reading for $10 for an hour and $5 for a half hour. If you're referred by somebody who's called the show, your reading will be a discount too, which is $45 for an hour and $25 for a half hour. And my regular readings, my regular price is actually $100 for an hour and $50 for a half hour. So if you notice, even the $45 is way below half. And right now what we got going on too, if you want to get some private readings and take advantage of this low cost and get some time, you can actually buy blocks of time, which is 11 one-hour readings for $100 and 6 one-hour readings for $50, or 6 half-an-hour readings for $40. But if you also want to take advantage of the $10 readings for an hour and the $5 reading for a half hour, you're more than welcome to do that too. So give me a call. Be glad to work with each and every one of you. I just love doing this work. Now the number here is 937-838-6337. That number again is 937-838-6337. Or go to my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.yolasite.com. So hang in there, and do what you got to do, okay? I'm trying to take a deep breath. The energy is really consuming, and it'd be great if you guys would call in so we could just all get the adrenaline going, get the energy going. I just feel like when we do this whole thing, the angels are just all coming in and having a good time. I'm trying to open it up and say, okay, angels, let's sit here and try to attract everybody to come in so they can, we can help as many people as we can and that kind of thing. It's one of those things where you just want to keep working and working and working. That cracks me up. Smile, oh, you're on candy camera. La, 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 la. Okay, cool, isn't it? I'm having a great time. How about you guys? Let's see here. Tomorrow is going to be one of those days where We're going to continue working with the angels. We're trying to cover all the 22 angels, the counts of the 22 angels. Like I said before, we were sitting there going over those things and talking about the angels themselves, but they all work together as well. They're a council, working with the angels, working on the inner plane. And I guess that's one of the reasons I like doing this kind of work is to get and it just keeps getting better and better and better. Like I said before, I'm tapping into energy with the angels and guiding and leading kind of thing. And I'm always constantly sitting here focusing on my cube full of people and how they can come in. Hello, everybody. How you doing? What happened was we got cut off again. Don't you love that freaking thing with Skype? You're just sitting there talking away. Next thing you know, nothing. A little raindrop going, doom, doom, doom. So what we're going to do is we're hoping for people to come in right now so we can actually do some calls and answer some questions. If you want to answer get some answers to your questions, so call in here. The number is 646-721-9031. And if you look in the chat room, you'll see that my prices are in there, what we're doing right now, and you can contact me at 937-838-6337 if you want to do some readings after the show. I still have some slots open, but you better get in it before they're all full. So let's go and check out some, let's see what we have here. 785. I'm looking at 7, okay. I love when I push these buttons and nothing happens. All right. 785 area code. You're on the air, and welcome to the show. And how are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but could you speak up just a little bit? I mean, either get closer to your phone or a little bit more. I can hear you.
Yeah. Let me try this. Is that better? Yeah.
That's a little bit better. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Good. I actually was calling in to listen, but. I don't have a specific question, but if you'd want to do a general reading.
Sure. Let's do this. I got a big deck of angel cards here. And I'm going to shuffle these suckers, and I want you to tell me when it's shuffling. Can you do that?
Okay.
All right. No, I'm just kidding. But, what's your name, sweetie?
One more time.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear
me? Yes, I can hear you now. What's your
name?
I'm
on Bluetooth, so. Carissa?
Okay. Carissa?
Yes.
And where are you calling from?
I don't know where I am right now. I'm in Kansas somewhere. Driving. I don't know. I'm somewhere in Kansas. On I-70. Can you hear me? I cannot hear you if you can hear me. But everything says I'm still connected, so. Darn it, I can't hear anything.
Hello.
Well, hello everybody. How you doing? Skype at its best. We're sitting here going over the whole thing, and we lost connection, and we actually lost everything, even the internet connection, which freaks me out when it does that because I don't understand that. I mean, shoot, what are we talking about here? Is it the ideal of Mercury? I guess if that's the case, I'm getting tired of that one. See, we were talking about, we went over the, earlier this week and last week, we were talking about the angel of unconditional love and freedom, and how important it was for that angel to have its gateway open. Because the angels are always working, but they can only work with what you give them. So that means if you have a negative subconscious mind, then you're going to get negative results. If you have a positive one, you get positive results. The angels are still working, but they can only work with you and to accomplish those things. But they can take it one step further and point out things on how to correct the situation, so therefore you can get what you want. So we were focusing on the angel of the angel of unconditional love and freedom. Once you unconditionally love everyone and everything and yourself, you look past that as in the illusion of part two and say, okay, I see things exactly the way they are. And things happen just for a reason, just like they're supposed to, so therefore there's no reason to worry. Now I'm free. So you see why they call it the angel of unconditional love and freedom. Once you come to the point of doing that and understanding, you have freedom. You know, I guess the term, the truth will set you free because you don't have to worry about it. You know, once you put the truth out there and you put the positive energy out there, you don't have to worry about what's coming back because you know what's coming back. When you lie and you send negative out there, you never know what's going to happen. That can be a total situation in itself. So if you have any comments concerning that or you want to get some questions answered, we are doing free readings today, guys. So therefore, just work with the angels and ask your questions and that kind of stuff. And we're all magnets to attract people to us that we can help. So therefore, just open it up and see what we can do. The number here is 646-721-9031. And for those private readings, call me. And this work together. That number is 937-838-6337. And let's see here. Go over a couple of things real quick, too, because I was sitting going over the angel creative wisdom, and I also wanted to point out that each one of these angels is represented in the Higher Arcana Tarot deck as, you know, the card itself, and if I'm not mistaken, okay, I was looking this one up myself, I saw it, I just want to make sure I got this right, that when you work with this angel, it also helps you understand when you work with the angels of giving, what actually happens with the energy of giving. Let's see, I saw it here. If I'm not mistaken, I'll just, you know, when I was sitting here going over some stuff, I was trying to figure out giving some insights. Now, if you're working with the angel of creative wisdom, that's, they govern breast, digestive system, including stomach and intestines. So if you're having problems with this particular gateway, this particular angel, then you usually have cramping, nausea, and indigestion, and you can't explain it. So that kind of clarifies that one. But also at the same time, they have some energy here of the angel, because they were talking about before about certain things, and I lost it. Why do I lose things? I had to... Let's see, I'm going to sit here and go back to, I think this is the lady we had before. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. I'm sure you can hear me better now.
Yes, I wasn't too sure, because I actually had two people in the queue before, too. I thought they were people I knew, and then when they came on the line, I didn't. So, was proceeding with caution there. So I was kind of going over some things real quick with... the angel of creative wisdom, which is actually represented in Egypt as in the teaching, the ancient schools of teaching and knowledge was actually the ideal. This is Isis, okay? Creative wisdom, Isis. She's also the planetary energy of the moon. It's also symbolic, the tarot cards. It represents the high priestess card. That's what I was trying to say and trying to get to, and try to get the information out there, saying that, you know, there's a lot of things working here. But it also summarizes the whole thing up, too, when you look at the angels themselves. And what's the purpose? The purpose is the ability to solve problems quickly, impart spiritual wisdom to your consciousness by providing the bridge between the higher and the lower natures, ensures that judgment is clear and correct, stimulates instinctive action, which means the idea of seeing things so clearly that you perceive spontaneously. So with the situation, we were actually doing a reading for you, am I right?
Yes.
Chris, and your name was Carissa, right?
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure I got that right. I was sitting here shuffling your cards, and right now I just need you to tell me if you want me to cut the deck or just leave it the way it is.
Cut it.
Okay, let me get my axe out here. No, I'm just kidding. But
three times. No, two.
Okay. We would have some nice little cars there, wouldn't we? That would kind of wild. Well, you know, the thing is, you need to. I get the impression a lot of things you need to do is you've been spending too much time rushing and bustling and doing a lot of things and focusing on other people. Is that true?
Yeah, I have a problem of focusing on other people, that's for sure.
Yes, and you have a lot of things you're focusing on and you get consumed with as well. And I don't know if you have fluctuating weight or something like that, but I see kind of like a focus on that from time to time, back and forth. Then there's other things you go into. You do have a tendency, and it's no way, shape, or form any kind of judgmental thing. It's just the things I pick up, that you have a tendency to focus on the lack of without even knowing it. So I was getting a lot of things of going outdoors and forgiving yourself for the mistakes you've made in the past. Because it seems like some of these things you're still hanging on and kind of like this self-punishment kind of thing. Because I see it's affecting your health in a lot of ways, too. Signs, because the signs are in your health, okay? Shows you that you're very gifted yourself, very intuitive. Right now with the situation, I keep picking up on a relationship. I keep the term relationships are coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things around that situation where I could look at and go, okay, I need a little bit of clarification of what's going on.
It's complicated.
No, it's not. It's just you need to. And let me rephrase that. I'm not trying to put you in your place, okay? I'm just saying, if you look at the interpretation of what you're thinking and focusing, it's not that complicated at all. It's just the idea of complication of following through with what you know you need to do. Does that make sense to you?
Hmm.
You know, you can think about it. Get back with it in a couple of days. It's okay.
Yeah, I think the thing is that, well, oh gosh.
Just try to simplify.
I know what I need to do, but then, you know, there's a difference between knowing and accepting.
That's
and
true.
And I can't accept that I have to do that.
That's true, too, but sweetie, you got to think about this. You're destined for somebody else, and so the person that you're with is, too. So you're holding two people back from where they're supposed to be at. So you, in the situation of making the decision, since the other person can't, the idea of unconditional loving somebody, this is a pure example of that, of saying you do love this person, but you know for a fact that certain things and certain decisions have to be made. And the reason I was thinking and focusing on this, because I was looking at my cards, it shows a gift of God, and it also shows new love. So the reason I wanted to clarify this whole thing, I felt like you needed to really hear it to yourself and think it through one more time, to sit there and go, okay, like you just said, I know what I need to do, but I just can't accept that. And ask yourself, why can't you accept that? Because I think I guess it's a prime example here of looking at the situation and going, okay, is this a thing of, I could have swore that this was the situation, the person, the relationship, I thought I was going to get everything. And now I have this thing, if I let it go, I won't get that. Does that make sense to you?
I think it kind of goes more into obligations that I
Oh, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, just take your time. If you don't want to really talk about it, that's fine, too. I understand.
I did actually have a question to just go off on a side note for a little bit.
No problem. You're right ahead.
What angel is the fool?
What angel is the fool?
Yeah, you said that each... And I'm Arcania.
Okay, yes, I did. I did say that. I have that information for you. And it's just simply as going, oh, there it is right there. Not to be mean or nothing. What you're looking at is the... Actually, it's the angel of... It's kind of funny how you're saying that, too, because we're sitting here talking about be unconditionally loving and to say, don't put no limitations on the situation and do what you got to do. But this is the angel of unconditional love and freedom. It's the fool. It's actually... It also talks about the Tao, the archetype types, the Tao, the master of the heavens, spirit, Krishna. But I go more toward the Tao, because the Tao says, you know, be true to thyself in situations going on. And the reason I say that very strongly is because when you're true to yourself, you're able to make the right decision and realize it's best for everybody. And you're being put in that position to make that decision because you are the most... I wouldn't want to say advanced, but you're at this point are the one that's putting that responsibility because of how spiritual you really are and how you are looking at things realistically. So the situation, yeah, so the fool, that is the angel of unconditional love and freedom. And we have the, also I was there looking at this one called the magician, and that's Mercury, but that's also the angel of illusion and reality. So it's the idea of looking at situations and going, I'll just go get that book by Dr. Wayne Dreyer and say, hey, excuses be gone, and see why I'm making excuses for what I need, why I know what I need to do. Because I still keep getting this impression of a new love coming into your life, and a lot of things changing here in the next 3 months. But I also see the procrastination, kind of, the things are going to happen no matter what. They really are. But the timing on that, exactly when it's going to happen, depends on your decision. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So when I sit here and say, I'm not trying to be any kind of way of saying, hey, you're right or wrong. I'm just pointing out things that I see and hear. That I keep hearing excuses of what you know you need to do and obligations. I would look at the situation and do like I do. When I'm putting in some kind of hasty decision, I just kind of say to myself, okay, angels, help me to happily pay all my bills and joyfully meet all my obligations. So there has to be an easier way that benefits both of us, where we can actually make the right decision, and it's a win-win situation. So do you have any more questions? Or is it one of those things, you know, if you want to sit there and talk about this, it's fine. I feel like a lot of people would really learn a lot from the situation that you're going through, that you might actually help a lot of people. But if you don't want to do that...
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine talking about it. I mean, it's just hard to articulate, so...
That's okay. So I'm just saying, take your time. Take a deep breath and...
It's also very, it's not, standard quota type, you know, I don't know.
What is, sweetie, what is normal? What is normal? It's an interpretation of the person who says what normal is. So your situation might be, a lot of people might actually look at you and say, well, that seems normal to me. It's an interpretation. That's what I'm saying. I just kind of relax and go, you know, I think it's one of those situations that need to be talked about. You need to get it out. You need to kind of mow things over and get some options. But, I'm just saying with the situation, I would suggest you want to get a private reading. I would definitely do for, I'm open tonight for if you want to do one of those. So, therefore, get a little bit of privacy out of the whole thing. I understand. If not, I'm all ears.
Yeah, I,
God, my legs hurt. Sorry. Just take a deep breath and... You know, if anything comes to you, I mean, I can sit here, like I said before, what I got was new love emerging. those were the exact cards I got. But to get clarification on the whole thing, I mean, I could sit there. That's what I'm saying. I could proceed with this whole thing if I really wanted to. But it just seems like it's one of those things of it needs to come from you. Because like I said before, I felt like there's like the ideal. I guess we've already come up with the conclusion on that whole thing. It's something that you know what you need to do, but you're just not willing to accept of that answer. So you're still looking for options. But I just keep thinking that when you keep going for options, I think you're going to still find you're going to be led back to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
It can be frustrating. Trust me, I understand. I mean, I've been in situations, too, where I'm going to go, oh, no, this was the person, this was the situation, and this is the way it's going to be. And then I went to proceed to telling everybody else and trying to convince everybody else. It wasn't until I sit down and said, I know for a fact that when people try to convince me of something, I believe them less. So I had to take a look at myself and go, okay, why am I trying to convince everybody something? If it's really true, then it will reflect that. If it doesn't, then I need to take a real good serious look at that myself. And say, what's up?
Oh, you know, that really goes back to what I just thought of is that, I don't know if it was the first caller or the second caller, but she was the evangelist. Study
yeah.
the Bible.
That was the
and
first
when
one.
You said when you said to read the Bible through you,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of like if you're trying to convince somebody of something, they unconsciously know that you're trying to convince them of something, and they will rebel.
But when they hear the truth, they come closer to you. They're drawn to you.
And you speak it through you, yeah. And just live it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they see it.
Yeah, exactly.
And they encounter it.
And then they live it.
And then they live it too, yeah.
With powerful words like that, how come more people are not calling? I'm serious.
Well,
I say it all the time. Like, good.
If you want to, you can dive into it because I don't really know, like, where to begin, how to begin. It's definitely something that has, like you said, consumed me, and I'm just oscillating back and forth,
mm-hmm.
up and down, and I get shaky and it throws me off my balance. So it's really hard for me to articulate, like,
mm-hmm. imbalance in your life. It's a big, strong imbalance right now. This is an individual, right? We are talking about an individual, correct?
Yes.
And this is a male, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I get the impression I was like, look, when I was picking up on it, was so obvious of the decision you needed to make, but you said you wasn't willing to accept that. So I was sort of looking at the situation and go, okay, you almost get like there's a really strong impression of somebody you need to cut loose from and go on and move forward because the person seems in some ways of holding you back. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the point is, I'm just saying, when I sit there and started focusing on it, it was almost like a situation I'd just gone through with the girlfriend I have now, who, when I met her, she felt like the person she was with was the one that she was going to get all the stuff that she went through, and then she broke up with that person and let it go, then she couldn't have what she wanted. So it was almost like a reflection of that person of trying to discover oneself through somebody else. So instead of looking... So instead of looking at herself, she started looking at him as the answer. And I also looked at her friend. Her friend was doing the exact same thing. So it was like, almost like a chain reaction going, okay, this is a guy that I want, and I'm not giving up until I get this. When actually what she's saying is, this is who I want to be.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't like myself. So therefore, instead of looking and doing the work myself, I'll just cut to the chase and get him, and then I'll feel fulfilled. Does this ring true?
Hmm.
She's thinking about it. Okay. It's okay.
Wow. Well, so there's two people, really,
right,
that I'm in a relationship with. And this will sound really funny to callers. Two, yes.
Two,
but
callers.
One person I haven't seen for a year and a half. When I say I'm in a relationship with them, I mean mentally.
That makes sense to me.
If you're mentally in a relationship with somebody, then you're in a relationship with them.
I saw that. It's kind of crazy. And I'm looking at a card of mine. It has a unicorn on it. Now, people don't understand, when you see a unicorn, a unicorn does not have just one horn. It's two horns intertwined with each other. And that's exactly what's going on with you right now, being intertwined with people. And if we take it one step further, guys, and look at where is the horn on a unicorn? It's on the head, right there where the third eye is. So therefore, it's all this thing we're thinking about. It's an intertwining mental connection. I just love that. So I love those kind of connections where it's like, boom, 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 there you go. You can't dismiss that, because that describes your situation perfectly, because you are the unicorn and you're intertwined with two people. And then the person on the horse is an angel with a thunderbolt of actually trying to sever of which one you should go with, when actually the reality here is it's the idea of severing ties with both for one person to go on to reclaim their life. I love these cards. So, something to think about, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I know I have to sever from both.
Yeah, because I understand completely what you're talking about, because I've done the same thing where it's like a situation of people trying to make a choice, when if you're actually looking for the right person, there is no choice. It's always that obvious.
Yeah.
So if you put both these two people together, you would have the guy you want to be with. But the reality is, they're two separate people. And I understand what you're having a tough time with that. That's why you know what the answer is, but you're not willing to accept it, because you're still looking for a solution to either, I get the impression you're trying to look for a solution so you can actually still have both of them.
So I could what?
So you could actually have both of them in your life.
Yeah. I don't know if,
okay.
You're
fine.
It's just that. I mean, so you want me to talk to you about what?
This is the way it is, sweetie. The cards are like this, body care. This is affecting your health-wise, okay? It's also killing your comfort zone. I mean, like this one here, I'll read the card to you. It says, I am with you in your time of need, helping your heart to heal. Now, this is Angel of Ariel. That's actually A-Z-R-E-L. E-L. Ariel. Oh, shoot. Ariel.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, one of these angels is the idea of angel of ascension, but it's also the angel of reality as well, of looking at situations and going, I'm here to help you because you know what you need to do, but we're also here to help you and comfort you through the situation, okay? And then the next card is take back your power. Use your God-given power and intentions to manifest blessings in your life, which means by making the decision that you know you have to do, it's really going to benefit everybody in a positive way. You just can't see that right now, and you're trying not to hurt people.
Exactly.
But, okay, so we have the patience here. Patience is telling us, you know, your dreams are blooming more rapidly than you think. You realize things are happening very quickly. So if you look at that situation and go, okay, what happens if I make the decision here? Then the life that you've really been waiting to engulf you is being shut and pushed back by just this one situation. Because it says brilliant ideal with Archangel Uriel, says yes, your ideal is divinely guided, so you know that's why you need to make the choice, because it's definitely guidance to you saying please take the actions to bring these ideals into reality like you know you need to, and because there's almost like a serenity but also a realization of the support that's around you of guiding you this way, and realizing they don't guide you in places that are going to hurt you, they guide you to the solution that you really need to take. And that's still the whole thing. You're going, okay, your ego's kicking in and going, nope, 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 nope. There has to be a different way. And then just, you know.
Yeah, I just don't like not accepting gifts, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think we all need to learn to do that and say, okay, when we ask for questions, Let's say we want to manifest $25,000, and some guy walks up and hands you a check. Our little pride sticks in the way and goes, "I didn't get the way I I don't think I got it the way I should have," not realizing everything happened just the way it was supposed to. It's the same thing with this situation here. Everything happened exactly the way it's supposed to a point where it's going to go three different directions, because that's just the way it's meant to be. You see it so clearly that it just makes you mad.
Yeah, it does. It drives me mad.
Yeah, so I will say one thing.
Because I don't want to hurt anybody.
That's true, too, but think about the reality part here. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but it's really kind of a self, it's kind of an egotistic thing that you're sitting there going, "I don't want to get hurt. This is going to hurt me to do this." So it's more of, it's not them, it's you. Because you've been hanging on it for that long, that it's kind of like, in some ways, it's like self-loathing. But just look at that way of saying, okay, how can I sit here and say I love anybody if I, you know, because in this kind of situation, it's like putting you in a position of finding yourself or realizing you are that loving person, and somehow you've gotten away from that. Now be the loving person you always have been. Prove it to yourself and make the decision that you need to do, that you know you need to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I've done the same thing to you. Hang on to it, but it's all about me. And it has nothing to do with me wanting to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt myself. And this would really hurt me to let go of this thing, because I'm just not ready to do that just yet. Because I think if I do that, then I might be doing this prematurely and I won't get what I want. See, it's all about me. And so when I let that whole thing go, I finally found somebody who actually thinks about me as I think about them. It was just the idea of letting go of this situation, of this egotistic thing going, gosh, if I let this go, I won't get the life I want. Not realizing that's not the point. The point is of the life that you're going to get, it's just not what the people you think it's going to be with. It's going to be someone totally different. But when you look at that next guy that comes to you about 3 or 4 months down the road, because it's not that far down the road, this little situation, I really feel strongly is keeping it from coming in, because two things, and the situation is, for what you want, you have to make room for it. And there's no room for it right now. So it cannot come into fruition. This manifestation is like stuck on hold, even to the point where the angels are holding it back themselves, of hoping you make the right decision, and then you'll be blessed with this gift, because it says love, new love is emerging. It's going to be coming into your life. And they're trying to basically save you from yourself in some ways, of helping you and giving you the chance to make the decision to let this go. That was really overwhelming.
Sorry.
No, but I'm saying if you really want to do a reading after the show, I'll be glad to sit down with you and go over this thing step by step by step. Even if you just want to sit there and vent, because I think you really need to sit there and go, you know something? I am being selfish and just scream it to the leaves. Well, we have no leaves here, but that kind of thing, because I've done it myself. You know, the realization of not willing to accept it is that one thing, is you standing in your way of your happiness. So I just want you to be happy, too. I wish I could do it for you, but I can't.
I'll do it. I swear. Someday.
All right. What? Go ahead. You're okay. You're fine. Just, you know.
So how do you recommend, I know people ask you this all the time probably, how do you recommend letting go? Because I've tried so hard with this one person, and it just seems the harder I try, the worse it is for me.
Well, shucks. I really do have another person on the line who's when they get some answers too. I'm trying to figure.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I was trying to suggest, could you at least, I mean, I hate to, I'm trying to put this in a nice way of saying, could you afford a half an hour reading where we could do one after the show where I could sit down and explain it to you, even to the point of pointing in the right direction, and even some literature you could get a hold of too. I just know it's going to take some time. I mean,
I was just pointed to your show, and I'm traveling at the moment, and I don't know, I think I'm like 2 hours away from getting there, but but yeah, I'll give you a call sometime later.
No problem. I'll just go my way. So I'm going to pull up in 2 hours. But I'm just kidding. But Yes, why don't you do that?
You cut out, so I didn't hear you. Okay, sounds good.
No, what I said was, I'm going to look out my door, my window, and see if you're going to pull in the driveway in the next 2 hours.
Oh, I see.
You
no,
said,
I think I'm far away from there.
Oh, yeah, more likely.
So.
Yeah, you are. I'm just saying, yeah, once you get to your destination, then give me a call if you can, and we'll sit there and go from there, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And it's almost like watching the lottery. It just kind of goes in a circle, and then all of a sudden it disappears. Okay, let's go on to our next caller. Area code 253. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donnie.
How are you?
Good. Well, this is Andrea. Do you recognize me?
I've talked to you before.
Oh, yeah. The last time I talked to you, you said that the man I was interested in loved me so deeply that he loved me all the way through his body and out his feet.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, I do.
Very good. Colorful. Well, he told me today that he does love me that deeply, and he considers me his best friend, but I am not a romantic possibility because of my age. And he's just gotten out of a relationship with an older woman,
mm-hmm.
and he's spitting me, you know, nails on older women, and I'm just mm-hmm. too old for him.
So he says, but I would sit here and say that he's too old for me. seriously. I'm serious. Because every time I look at the situation of a person and what they say out their mouth, I keep going deeper than that, going to the mind, which is saying something totally different.
Mm.
You know, like you said before, it's a
Did
little
I
angry.
See your cards on that? Because it's clear to me that I have had somebody remote viewing really messing with all of my other readings, and I would really love to see what cards you get on this.
I get pretty testy with people when they do that. So they have that. So people usually don't mess with me.
Yeah.
Like hit the road, dude. And then my girlfriend right now is freaking out because she said, "You are so freaking powerful," but I just have the tendency to back up. That's a good thing. Wait till
It is a good thing.
Wait till I get angry.
So you don't believe him, huh?
No, I don't. Because my angels are sitting telling me he's full of it. He's just a person who's grieving on certain things. He's angry, and he's not seeing things clearly. Because it's like the idea of looking at the situation.
Well, I also know he's an attractive man, and he can pull in a lot of younger women easily.
Of course he can. But then would he be happy? No. That's the whole point. When people are angry and they go through this kind of stuff, sometimes it's hard to see what's right before you. You know, you're sitting there going, "You're too old." What the heck's that got to do with it? I'm going to tell you right now. I've looked at girls and said, "You're too old for me." You're right. I'm like 5,000 years old.
Well, then he said, you know, we probably will be together forever after this lifetime. I mean, he's more or less saying he gets our connection, that we're so like twin flame connections without saying that, these conceptual words. You know, that I can see us being together after this lifetime. But what he's really saying is, I'm so much younger that I really, you know, want to honor that, my age, and he's very ambitious, and he felt like, you know, people were staring at him with this other woman who's older. Of course, she looks like his grandmother, and I look about 30 years younger than she does. God bless her. But, you know...
I'm sorry.
But I do, and I'm actually a couple years older than she is, and I still look about 30 years younger. But
right. It's one of those crazy things. We look at the situation and go, "Okay, dude, this is what's happening. I wish I was doing a reading for him." Saying, "This is a gift from God," and you're like riding the fence. You're being spiritual, but you're being too logical at the same time. You're looking mm-hmm. at the situation you just went through in a logical sense instead of looking at the spiritual sense of what you're being handed. Okay? Because it says here, mm-hmm. These are the cards. You can tell them if you want to in yourself. It's almost like it's like a self-interpretation where you look at it and goes, "Gift from God." Well, I'm sorry. "Gift from God." And it says, "Career transition with a lot of things to change." And it also says it's crystal clear. the intentions here is crystal clear exactly what's supposed to happen. It's the idea of the power behind the whole thing is to be courageous and stand up for what you believe. And don't give in and go back on the division. Division. Because it's right here, I get this little thing. I get there's a lot of help with you family-wise where it says hello from heaven. Your loved ones are here. They're saying hi from heaven. But they're also saying let go of worries and the feeling of this thing here.
Uh-huh.
It's a feeling they're loving blessings, but also pointing it out. In the process of saying here's loving blessings, it's the idea of the situation. But it also says surrender and release it as well. Surrender and release and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea of saying, it's like change your wording and don't say it no more, that you're too old.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually,
I'm not too old. He just said, age difference is not appropriate for him. And
it's a limitation. Yeah, it's appropriate. There's no such thing as appropriate. You guys are both over age.
We're both too old.
Yeah, so you look at the situation going, no, we're in the same boat, guy. The teenagers are over there. I'm not one of those, and you're not one of those either. So, it's like, look in the mirror. What do you see? You're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, what I'm saying is every time you say it, what he said, you're reaffirming it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so we sit there and go, every time I start to say that, I'm going to smack myself. And I would. So, because I sit here and look at this thing going, the first card came out with gifts from God.
Mm-hmm.
It says right
and
now.
And it is. We have a connection that is dynamite, and I have never felt it with anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, And I'm
very intense. Oh, where'd you go? Where'd you go? I can hear you. Hello? Uh-oh. She's lost. Lost in space. I can't. It's almost like you fell into a tin can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm calling from the tin can. I feel like we have a string between our tin cans.
Yeah, yeah. So please pull the string tightly, please. No, I'm just saying the one card that comes out the most, it says power and courageous. Have the power, be courageous, and stand up for what you know is the truth. And I'm just saying, keep reaffirming it. I feel like it's going to go that way. It just takes a little longer for some people to have the realizations and their eureka moments to wake up. To somebody who sit there and told you that that's the kind of love he has for you, but says in this lifetime we can't do that,
mm-hmm.
is riding the fence of what society says and what his heart says.
And he's first to admit that, but he wants what society has. He's very ambitious, and he's young enough to just move into his career, and he's just experienced a year of people just not, he was shocked at how people were treating him, and he felt that that would have an effect on his career and his ambitions and he's all about, his work. He's very excited about it, and he's brilliant in it, and it's his passion for life, and he feels that, he saw how she was limiting his ambition just by her age. And so he's put me in the same category.
Gotcha. I'm just saying, with the situation in here, I wish someone would sit down with him and go, okay, dude, this is what's going to happen while you listen to society. Three divorces. Never get you what you want. You're going to lose your career because of someone else in your life that's going to take this away. Which actually you made the decision to let them do that, so therefore it's always going to be traced back to you. So if you're going to sit there and think about that for a minute, this saves you some time. Society says this is the way you should do things, and they have a 60% rate in divorce. Yeah, that sounds like a really great way to go, and they got it down. And it's just like the idea of trying to say, can we sit there and look at this one more time? The idea of people being unemployed has everything to do with what they think, not what is going on. The economy does not have a life of its own, except for the life we give it to, which it seems like it's been really going on a lot here lately. When people go, the economy is really powerful. I'm sort of going, no, it's not. It's your thinking.
We are beyond that, and we can manifest beyond that. And I feel he and I are beyond these limitations that we imagine of our age. I mean, we have connection, deep connection.
And every time you get one of these kind of connections, you have a tendency to attract to you everything you want, need, and desire at will. And I know this. So the idea of sitting and going, okay, dude, you want to have what you want and have it at ease, or you want to work your butt off? I mean, with your career, wouldn't you like to have things, with opportunities, just in a like a nice little flow? Not always trying to chase things. And sitting still, being with the right person, and being a magnet to those to those things. That's what I'm saying here, about being powerful and being courageous. The idea of standing up for one's beliefs is the same thing, because he has those beliefs. He just needs to sit there and sit down and go, okay, I'm not honoring myself at all here. And still the idea of the fear of not being able to have the career because of the choice, when actually I think in some ways he's going to have the career he wants, but in the choice he makes, he's still putting limitations on that too, where it could be so much more, and he could have so much, and as I put it, letting go gives you more control.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to have that kind of hands on hand, but then again you do, because it's just a spontaneous thing of what he does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
It's crystal clear to me. I mean, it's crystal clear intentions are talking and just walking and walking and walking to the point where you can see him turning around and looking back behind him, and he does realize that in some sense he's what he's missing. And I just wish he would sit there and take a look at that and say, well, you don't have to. You don't have to miss it. It can be all yours. It's just, you know, if we could just take that moment when he sits there and said those things and tape it, and then when he least expects it, plays it back in his ear. You said this. You said this. Nobody else. And this is what you felt, because it was so spontaneous when he said it. Correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I was telling him the few readings that I had, and one of them was what you had said, you know, and when I asked him what his reaction was, he said it was very linear, wasn't what he was feeling. You know, he's clear that he does not want me as a partner, no romance, you know, he loves me deeply. We're best friends. And then, you know, gave me the whole spiel about after this lifetime we can be together, and I can see, you know. There was a reading where it said his ex-wife was jealous, and then he said, I can see where she could be jealous or something like that. He got into really, like, multi-dimensional realities, but called your truth linear.
Okay. That's too much work. No, I look at the situation like this. When we talk about the gifts and God, my next layer of cards was actually leadership. It's time for you to assume your leadership power and position and lovingly guide others. I see that as connected to the gift here of keep speaking your mind and keep expressing yourself. And then the angel, and it says angel therapy, which is the idea of working with Archangel Raphael. Give your cares and worries to your angels. But also, it's like allow them to take the burden, so you don't have to focus on the possibility that you might not get that, and to keep constantly focusing on the positive. Because the next card pretty much sets the tone for everything, okay? It's called the All's Well card. This is Archangel Jeremiah. And it says everything is happening exactly as it's supposed to, with hidden blessings you will soon understand. So we look at the situation of the way he's reacting because of what has just happened to him. So he's looking for harmony in his life. He's also looking for those blessings, and he's actually taking in a lot of the counseling that you've been doing with him by being straightforward with him and not wanting to back down. So he's listening to those things. So what we got to do in this situation, I got to drop my pen, but with the situation, when you look at harmony and blessings, what he's looking for, it's just the idea of giving him time to realize what that means and who it is. Because what he's looking for, and that's the thing I keep picking the most, what he's looking for, the kind of relationship he's wanting. See, I don't care what anybody says. The idea of sacrifice, there is no such thing. It's just a choice of going a different direction.
Right.
Okay? And this thing here is just basically saying, I believe I should punish myself for what I just went through, which is kind of weird, but I still sense that. So we look at the situation with him, of he's just he's extra sensitive because of what he's going through.
Yes.
So the emotions and his energy, they're right now pretty well off the scale. But he, and he needs, and what he needs to do is he needs to honor those. He needs to honor himself and honor those feelings.
I agree. And I would do an Aikido with him and just say, absolutely, you're correct.
I would jaw stop him.
And that also gave me a sense of relief, actually. Oh, hold on. Things are happening here. Okay. Talk about no time. Folding time. We're folding time here. I'm back. And
I just want everybody to understand. Great. No,
I would simply go with what he has to say. And I have a sense of relief when I do that. But, you know, there's also me going, oh, thank God I don't have to have a romance, even though it's what I really want. Because, you know, now I'm off the hook. If I'm an older woman, you know, now I don't have to fix the cellulite before he shows up.
Right.
Or whatever.
Well, the ideal is he's definitely focusing on the woman he was just with. Because I guarantee if he really looks at you very clearly, there's definitely totally difference in the energy and atmosphere. And,
you bet there is.
And the idea of what she was basically a downer. And I'm not trying to, I'm saying the truth, okay, guys? You're out there going, what'd you say that for? Because it's the truth. See, the woman who pulls people down, this is a prime example of this person of why he's so distraught, because he allowed himself to be pulled down.
Yeah.
So he's angry. But I just sit there and look at the situation, sensitivity, and being, you know, like I said before, the one thing you should do in the situation is stop telling him and start showing him.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be resistance to certain things, but the feelings are mutual. So the ideal, when you feel like you need to follow through with something physically, emotionally, without saying a word, you need to follow and honor that yourself, because it's saying gentleness. Be very gentle with yourself at this time. Surround yourself with gentle people and situations, environment. Now, most people say, well, okay, well, should I do it to myself? No, it's saying in this card, it's interpreting it toward you on how you should proceed to be with him. He needs to be surrounded with gentle people, and you're that gentle person. So it's like nurturing him and stop telling him. Because I have the same problem. I see it clearly, and I'm going to tell you. I'm straightforward about the whole thing, but it has a tendency to be a little too upfront. So for some people, I should be more of listening and nurturing. And I understand that myself. So it's the idea of trust that, trust the signs. And that's where I came up with that. When the information and the signal, and I should say the message came very clearly, with those three cards of trust, the sign of how to proceed with that gentleness and to nurturing him. And look at the nature of the whole thing. But the cards also describe you as a natural counselor anyway. You've helped lots of people. And in this situation, it's the ideal, not just nurturing him, but nurturing yourself at the same time. Because you've been through a lot as well. But also the ideal of nurturing yourself and caring and loving about yourself and understanding what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to be there 100% for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically you're feeling the same way. So once you start doing those things, going and following through with those kind of moments, when we sit here and talk about it, he feels the same way, he will react like he's supposed to. But the more gentle you are, the more calm and passionate you are with him, the more he has his resistance down to the point where when it goes there, he'll see it and he'll see you. He won't see something else that masks that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it might take, I don't see it taking very long, really, to tell you the truth. I feel like that situation was over a long time ago.
What situation? With her?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you because I heard that he is still somehow tied to her in a very, even though he's cut the cords on the belly and the back, there's some sort of...
Yes. One of the cord he didn't cut. Does anybody know what that cord is? No, you know what the cord is? This is
what?
The one cord. This is the one cord that people forget. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And it's the one that initiates intimacy. We'll put it that way. And see, people forget that, because I saw a lady today who was, she had a cord attached to that spot of her body because they had such a phenomenal sex life that they forgot. She said, I've cut the cords. I said, yeah, but there's one you forgot to ask to cut. And she goes, which one was that? The one attached to that, I was like, how do we put this? The one that he
cut. The genital.
Yeah, the one he injects his personality into you. So there's a connection spiritually.
So that there's a, He's got a 1 and I've got a 0, and then together there's a 10.
But you see, if you look at that whole thing, that one intimate action basically does intertwine and connects people in a physical and an energy way that we all forget to cut that one cord. And I'm like, you know, it's one of those things that kind of, I mean, I will sit there and say it myself first too. It wasn't one of those things until I was actually doing readings for other people to realize those connections and why it's so hard to let people go until I started working with other people to do that, so that, do that very thing.
Well, he has to do that. Nobody else can do that for him.
That's true too, but you can still send him energy, and you've done that before. It's just you had to give him the strength to do that. But also, you can also talk to his, like I've done this before with my guardian angels, I talk to their guardian angels, and try to have a conversation where they can actually say, well, maybe you should think about this. You really want to cut ties with this person? Maybe you should look at that. So it's like a power suggestion, but you send it through a nice divine avenue, so therefore it can't be interrupted. I mean, if you, I always say that because it's like if you tell a friend here on the physical plane, he might get hit by a car, and it won't get there. But when you do the angels and ask them to deliver messages, there's nothing stopping them. Plus, you have the intervention of coming in, too. That's a very loving, caring thing to ask your angels to go and help him.
Mm-hmm.
And
ask
Archangel. And Archangel Michael, you can still do this, too, in a loving ways, too, as well, because somebody's asking the angels to do something. And you're doing it in a very loving way. So, therefore, in the sense of this thing, he still has to cut the cord, per se, yeah, but talking to Archangel Michael and talking about that whole thing, it's kind of a suggestion of, can you talk to him and whisper in his ear that he needs to do something with that whole thing and cutting that loose, because that I feel like that's the one that's causing the most damage, or not, I wouldn't say damage, but the most interference. I would go interference, but negative. But the situation is, someone has a very strong connection with children.
He does.
Okay.
And then that is her grandchildren. He's in madly in love with a little girl with pigtails. It's about, I think, about 8. Her name is Riley.
You're serious? That's crazy.
No, well, you know, he adores her, and she's the apple of his eye. You know, he's madly in love.
No. Just say I'm looking at a girl here with pigtails.
I was
looking down and going, okay, I've never seen that one before, but there it is right in the front. I mean, there's just 3 kids. One's a black kid, one's a blonde, and the blonde in the front's got pigtails. So you sort of look at the situation and go, okay, I understand the connection. But it's like, I wish someone could sit down with him and tell him the same thing I did myself. I was very attached to my kids, but there was always a way of working around it where I didn't have to see my ex-wife, which I thought was a bad
idea.
And that's what the same thing here is. It's like the idea of looking at the situation.
And he did that today. He was with them, and I think that he was with her, his ex, today, too. So maybe you can pick up on something there.
Well, I get the connection and being around, but not really any other interaction. It's like the acknowledgement. It's acknowledgement. Saying, oh, yep, the 2 people were all in the same place, but didn't really speak to each other at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't see any conversation. I see more of a irritation because he didn't say anything to her, but still interact with everybody else around him in a loving way. So it's like one of those people who can't wonder how come people why people don't like them when they're not likable, you know?
Gee, you know, I get confused about her because she's supposed to be a pillar in the spiritual community. She's supposedly very well liked and very well respected. She's been around for years, but you know, I get readings that she's so controlling and belittling, and you know, that I get confused by that.
Well, see, the problem is that the idea of explaining the duality here is the idea of when she's around other people and she's very caring and she can be herself. She doesn't have to carry on a certain way. But when she's not getting what she wants, the fears are dictating her actions, and that's how she. That's why she reacts to people. That's why a guy beats a woman. That's why a guy beats a woman. It's not really the ideal of wanting to. Well, let me rephrase that. There are some guys that have a situation where they want to inflict that pain on purpose, but there's still some issues that go behind that too as well. But I'm just saying there are some of the guys who just are raised that way, that doing certain things in that physical realm is the way they show how they love, because that's how they were shown themselves. So the situation, they react. Okay, but it's the fear of not having, that they have a tendency to react out, and they'll be verbal and they'll be angry, but when they start acting out in physical, because something's being taken away from them, they're not acting in the right way, of course, but they're still acting of wanting to keep something that's being taken away from them. So when she acts the way she does, that's because she's feeling threatened because something's being taken away from her.
Uh-huh.
When she's with everybody else, there is no that sense of anything. It's a, I guess you would say, being around that kind of thing. Because I've seen it before. You have people that are very, as we call it, I have a friend of mine who was like that when I was in Colorado. Very religious. Very nice. But she was also messing around with me behind everybody else's back, too, as well. So that's how I know. But I would never do that again. But, you know, the whole thing was going on. So I'm saying, I guess I could see the both sides where she's being very nice and going to church. And I'm a very strong Christian and that kind of stuff. And you're sitting there going, and it was kind of weird, I have to admit. And when she said, looked at me one day and said, when I'm married, I don't mess around. I'm sitting there going,
Well, what about the last few months?
That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at this lady going, do you remember what happened last week? And she goes, yeah. What? And then she looked at me right in the face and she goes, yeah, but I plan on getting divorced. And she went right to the mode of justifying what she was doing. But still, and then she was also very strong. But if you would have seen how she treated her 16-year-old, because her 16-year-old didn't do what she thought she should do, I mean, they used to lock this kid in the closet. They used to make her walk around a clean house naked as punishment.
Oh, goodness.
But this is a lady who went to church and did the things. Mm-hmm. When you saw her at her office and stuff. And I've seen her, too. I thought it was kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing, where she's so nice to everybody. And she's so caring, and she was looking out for everybody. But then some of the things she did and how she justified it was just really off the scale, off the cuff, going, I see it firsthand, and I don't believe it. So when you said, I know what you're saying, but these are fears, playing them out because of things that she was wanting and being taken away from her, and the child wasn't acting the way she thought she should. And I think in some ways it was even a reflection back on her, that she felt guilty, and then she would react in a physical way. So to help you understand that whole thing, the lady could definitely be what everybody says she is on that part, but also all the other things that you've gotten with readings, same thing. There's two different ones. One's threatened, one's not. But they're still the same person. Let's take a deep breath after that one.
Okay.
But it's definitely a situation of balance and emerging and focus. Because the cards, as I go up into the pyramid, you got divine order, which divine order is another card that just says, hey, everything is how it needs to be right now. Look past the illusion and see the underlying order. Something's happening. And then we have the indigo children, where there are some things that I think he's working on his mind, how he can hang on to certain things and get away from it. And the idea of how angry he is right now, it does reflect that there's something different that most people don't see with this woman that he's angry about. Okay, but it also talks about this too. And I don't have a twin flame card, but I do have a soulmate card, so I have a tendency to interpret that way when I see a very strong connection with this one's like two little 8-year-olds, angels with wings, kissing each other in the garden. So it shows a very sweet, strong, passionate connection, but also innocent, but also very passionate. So when you look at that whole thing, I don't see that with him. And I see
really?
I see that with you guys. I see you guys being together for many, many lifetimes. Actually, the point of even having one lifetime together and in ancient times where you guys were kids together, you grew up together, and eventually did, you know, you guys have been married so many freaking times.
Well, that's what they had read. They have so many lifetimes together, and brother and sister, and, you know, mother and son, and it's really very incestuous. But it's not really, I don't get that it's that for us. I get that we've never met. We've not had those lifetimes, and that's why it's so twin flamey, because now that stuff is coming in. That finally, this is the time for that kind of energy that hasn't had to work out, you know, a karma. Karma.
Well, I'm just saying, I look at the situation of even the idea of lifetimes and stuff, of mother and father and mother and son and those kind of things, and looking at them in different ways and saying, I don't think so. I think it's a way that those lifetimes were portrayed as in how you were in different roles. And, you know, for a fact, even in this lifetime, that you can take on many roles in a relationship, brother, sister, mother, depending on how you nurture each other and that kind of stuff. And when I do past lives, that's what I see. I mean, I had one lady tell me, she goes, you do know you were a woman at one time.
Of course.
I looked at her and I said, you know something? the ideal in certain situations when we go back to certain lifetimes is not the ideal reflection on male or female, but on who you was at that time. Which most of the time, if you start to look at it, we were basically it basically happens because of our stature, of what we was in that past life, or who we was and what we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody had a title back then. Come on. And yes, I'm waiting to meet the right person who was actually Adam in the past life. Hasn't happened. But there's many, many lots of people. I'm just saying, when I pick up those things, the thing I picked up the most in those situations wasn't the ideal of actually being literally mother and son, but it was the ideal of the nurturing kind of relationship that you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the intimacy that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it as being incest of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Which you think you would pick up that kind of energy along with the whole thing too, but it's also interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
In this lifetime, everybody has made laws and rules about every freaking thing you get your hands on.
Right.
Even the idea of spitting on the freaking sidewalk, and you know, it's a form of trying to control because of this fear that's been playing out. I mean, look at insurance. What is insurance? What if everything goes bad? Buy this money.
Right. Why don't we figure on that? Let's focus on that.
Extortion. That's what it is. It's called extortion. But now it's legal. I'm serious.
Yeah, and it considered very wise.
Yeah, but that's also, like your friend, what I'm trying to point out to you was, look at those things. They're ridiculous. But here's this is this guy saying, I want society to basically tell me who I should be with and what kind of relationship I have, when they haven't got it down.
Mm-hmm.
They're still walking in fear of insurance and us.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to a lot of spiritual people who are really spiritual who haven't had insurance in the last 10 years.
Right.
And people go, how do they get away with that? It's called dictating the life that you want to have, and we don't let the world dictate that for us and say, okay, no one's come on my door and said, you need some car insurance. I just drive my car. It's interpretation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go
at the speed limit.
Exactly. Who drives the speed limit? Guy, raise your right hand. Who drives the speed limit? Nobody's raising their hands. Oh, do you? Well, I'm just saying, when you look at those situations, and people say, well, the speed limit's this, and you're going down the highway, and you can't keep up, and everybody's going 90, that's a contradiction. So I'm just saying, well, so I look at this person here, letting it past his point of healing. And I think you can even help with this. And then point things out to society. I mean, point him out and say, okay, this is society, 60% divorce rate. Do you want to listen to these people? How about have a relationship? Because they haven't got it down yet. Because the percentage keeps going up, not down. And even Christians have a divorce rate. But now when you look at true spiritual people, you don't. They stay together longer than anybody else. There has to be a reason why. And if these things are pointed out to him and say, okay, look at these two people. They've been together for 200 years. You know, it's kind of an exaggeration, but I'm just saying, how we know that wasn't true. It points out past lives and saying, we've been together, this and this. I always do this. I point out, I'll do past life regressions and past life readings. And what I do is I'll pick up certain days and I pick up years. And what I usually do with those people is I say, okay, go get some books on history and start looking at look at this year. And what happens is, they start picking up memories of being there themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't understand where these memories are coming from because they've never been there. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like, so there's a lot of visual things that you can do as well to help him understand the connection between the two of you where you don't have to speak a word. It's all him doing it himself. Go to the library. Let's go to the library, man. Check out 1325. Oh, yeah. And literally, I would do that, 1325, because it came up
really
quick.
What is 1325, honey?
That's your year together, one of them.
Oh, I see.
Yes. I'm just saying, in the midst of readings, pay attention to everything it's said.
Mm-hmm.
Even my crazy stories and my own experiences, because I've had too many people come back and say, something happened to me, and now it makes perfect sense why you said what you said, because the information just coming through me like a freaking, like a sieve, okay? So I'm not distinguishing what stories I hit and what stories I don't and that kind of thing. I mean, to have someone come... I'm just saying, I had someone come to my shop one day, and she goes, are you pulling all those cards out just for me? I said, boy, if I could do that, I'd be one heck of a psychic. Just to pull the very card out just for you? And she's like, I guess that was a crazy question, wasn't it? Yeah. I wish I could be that good. Maybe I should strive for that. Okay. But I'm just saying, it's talking about the situation, and the top cards are talking about clairvoyant. Yeah, clairvoyant. So see things clearly, but it also talks about balance, emerging, and focus. When you get those two cards together, it shows this balance that he's looking for coming out, but it's also going to really be a realization for everybody else as well, where he's going to see her for what she is. And even she is this loving, caring person. It's the idea of looking at the situation because it doesn't work, but also being pointed in the right direction to someone it does. Because it also shows...
Well, I got from your last reading that he, because he, you said he loved me so deeply, he pulled me into his body and all the way through his feet. Can you explain that? Didn't he kind of merge with me and ground? He was grounding with me, and actually, and I don't know how you guys do that sort of thing with your women, but how did he pull? Huh?
So my girlfriend loves it. So.
He pulled my energy into his body. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's what it's called. It's called immersion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people would call it, in the midst of having sex, the energy connects. If it's, you know, with the right people, it's like two. How would you put this? It's like two of the same coming together and being together again, and they become one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an energy. It's a very powerful, overwhelming energy. And every time you come in contact with each other, you definitely feel it. And And then when you get to that point where you can actually do those things,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna know what I'm talking about. But it's looking at him. I always see it from his point of view of him taking you in, but that's just more you surrendering yourself with him. You're surrendering yourself to him,
mm-hmm.
and you're becoming one. And it's pretty intense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do that with him. I mean, I do a lot of thinking and imagining and dreaming, but I don't pull him into my body.
Mm-hmm.
And he does with me, and he uses me as a grounding because he pulls me all the way through his feet. Is that correct?
That's the way he is with it. It is. It's the way he is on his path right now. You know, he's using you like a grounding rod. Yeah.
Yeah, a touchstone as well.
Yeah, but after you guys are actually together, then it becomes a mutual thing. It's just one of those things of finding one's way home.
Yeah. Mhm.
And you see that.
And do you think? I mean, I had a reading that said she hates me because she feels that I took him away from her, and I said I was not involved in their divorce or their marriage. I was clear and clearly stayed out of it. And once he told me he was divorced, I
Ooh.
Was there with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, over the air, I said, I wasn't involved. And the reader said, well, he used you. He used his feelings for you to get out of the divorce.
Okay.
Does that make sense, or does that...
Oh, thanks for everything. I was just sitting here. Oh, I was just waiting to tell you the rest of the cards. What I was talking about the last three cards was...
Oh, what are the last three cards, honey?
Celebration.
Ooh.
Celebration of one's intentions. And it's like, we could look at the card and say outdoors, but I think it's one of those things of being that, it's a natural thing.
They die.
What?
I pressed that strikeout. Will you put the strikeout, please?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yes. Trash detail.
Oh.
Okay.
You know, every time I call, you get trash detail. I got to tell you.
I know, but
what is this?
The cards are saying celebrate your intentions, which goes forward of the outdoors. I just think it's more of a go outside, take some fresh air, to see the natural order of this is going to be what it is. Because it does say, I mean, I've been doing this all week, telling people, go outside, hug a tree.
Oh, yeah, I do that every day. I do 2 hours of hiking every day in the morning, so with my doggie. So I'm celebrating every day, and I'm imagining and dreaming when I'm out there. So this is where I do my best dreaming.
I was just passing on the meditation I used to do where I was, like, hugging a tree and imagining my roots going into the ground as much as the tree's roots and just connecting to other trees' roots until I'm connected to the whole world. And then we just resonate with the powerful energy where the earth is just engulfed with this white energy, this white light.
Nice.
It's like a golden energy. We want to be successful here and we want to touch people out there. That's what you need to do is reconnect again. So
mm-hmm.
the situation of reconnecting, I also feel like the reconnection between the two is going to happen. And I do say reconnection. So
you're saying with he and I, there's going to
be... Exactly. But I'm just saying, you're constantly grounding yourself, but there are some times when you get really excited and you're not so grounded as you should be. And those are the times you should do it again. And just to reinforce that, it's like thinking about the three chakras that actually help you do that, which is one below the feet, the ones behind the knees, and the one which we call the root chakra, of working those three together and getting some really incredible grounding.
Okay.
And I was sitting looking at this one here. This is a great one. You can take it if you want to. I can even tell you where you get the thing at. But I was sitting there. I used to do this myself. And I thought it was one of those prayers that just really hits the center of focusing here. It's like pray. Because seriously, think about this. If you are a person that have been together with many, many lifetimes in certain ways of healing certain things that have got you searching for each other this lifetime, you're definitely wanting to find each other. And then in this situation, you feel like you're not searching anymore.
Mm-mm.
So that's a pure sign in itself. But this prayer here says, Dear God, I ask you and the angels, help me heal my love life. I am willing to release any unforgiveness I may be harboring toward myself and my partner, and I ask that the angels cleanse me of all anger or resentment now. Please help my partner and me see each other through the eyes of love. I ask that all effects of our mistakes be undone in all directions of time. Please work with my partner so that we may have harmony, romance, friendship, respect, honesty, and great love for one another. Please renew our love. Bring us back together. Thank you. So when you sit here and look at those things, and plus with the situation of helping somebody, we were going over these angels. I mean, the angel of unconditional love. People were looking at the situation going, the angel of unconditional love and freedom. What card is that attached to in the higher arcana of tarot deck? It's the Fools. Now, I've always seen the Fools as a journey, either taken hastily or depending on which way the card sets. It could be a hastily decision to take that journey, or it could be a journey that you need to take just to see things about yourself, or maybe putting yourself in a situation of loving unconditionally, like we were talking before the show.
Right.
Putting yourself in a situation of saying, okay, I love this person. I'm an unconditionally loving person, so therefore I realize the person I'm with is not the one I should be with. So I let them go, I go, and then we're all destined for other people. So that's a very loving thing to let your partner go so therefore they can have what they want as well as you.
Uh-huh.
And the situation here is a person who is coming through an awakening of being that unconditionally loving person too to help him through his healing part and hopefully, and I do say hopefully, but I feel very confident with the situation of him turning around one day and realizing just exactly who you are and what you represent and letting that be what it is. But at the same time, just unconditionally loving him and realizing what he's going through and understanding that there are going to be ups and downs. I mean, jeez, the girlfriend I have right now is one of those situations almost like yours, except for mine now is going the way I want it to. But it was one of those things of when I first got with her, of her being so fixated on other things and always pushing me away and denying what was going on. I didn't think it was ever going to happen. And all of a sudden, it's like it changed just that quick, and that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
And now what she does is confess her love to me. She's actually been on the show a couple of times. I didn't know it was her.
Her just before me?
No, that wasn't her. No, that was actually a woman. She was actually traveling in Toronto, I think. She's having some problems with the situation, but it was just the idea of helping her realize that my girlfriend was going through the same thing of knowing what she needed to do, but not really wanting to accept it to actually make the right decision. Which I thought was kind of funny when she went, Eureka. That's exactly what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, cool.
Well, let me get it clear. When you said you see him turning around and seeing me for who I really was to him, is it turning around in time to embrace me or turning around down the road and going, holy crap, what did I do?
Well, that's not a, it's a eureka moment, but it actually it's an embracing moment where that's
okay.
That's where your relationship changes.
Okay.
So you get what you want. But in the process of him making the decision too, he gets exactly what he wants as well. So it works out for both of you.
Right. Cool.
It's just, so that's what I meant. When it came to me, it was literally turning around and going, oh, I'm so sorry for treating you the way I did. And then embracing you, and then I guess you say the vision I see is embracing, and then waking up the next morning going, that was good. And then going on from there. Not to share too much on the air, not to share too much of your love life on the air, but that's pretty intense, and I really believe that's going to happen. I think we're talking months, not years. I feel like in some ways with this nurturing and just unconditionally loving somebody and that energy that you're giving him, so you can still give him the energy and you can still send healing his way. And I just feel like it's going to help out a lot. But also, don't send too much. We don't want enabling him to stay where he's at either. So it's one of those things of balancing it out. Because when your cards, I love doing pyramids, because when you do the pyramids, you have the final card in the middle, which goes, then you have this little pyramid that goes down each side. You look at one side, it talks about your spiritual side, of outdoor, celebration, balance, divine order, sensitivity, your leader, and your gifts. You know, you're just a very gifted person yourself. And on the other side, it's like a... You can look at it in a materialistic way. I'm talking about going outside, setting your intentions in the physical, of focusing on soulmate implications here, but the nature of what's really going on, to be that counselor to help him surrender and release. So you're supposed to surrender and release it too, but in the process of doing that, you're also giving an example to someone else to do just that too as well. Because he's still hanging on to this thing emotionally. There's still emotional attachments, and he has cut those loose. And like I said, there's one I know for a fact he hasn't cut loose because most of us don't even think about it, which is the one thing we do think about when we're together.
And he's really... the only one that can cut that loose. I mean, I can't. I can talk to my angels and ask them to...
Get suggestions, yeah, suggestions.
Communicate with his higher self and suggest,
loose, yeah.
Yeah.
And cut that cord and say, okay, it's like a suggestion of helping him realize... There's one cord you haven't cut yet, and do you really want to cut loose on and cut that loose? It would help you understand why there's, because I mean, honestly, when you have a person who is this angry at a person, I mean, let's get real, guys. What is anger? Anger is an emotion. It's an emotional attachment.
So you're saying he's angry at her, or she's angry at him, or both?
No, I don't care what she thinks, because right now the situation is we're focusing on him and.
Uh-huh,
the situation
okay.
of your reading, so it's not trying to be insensitive. We're just trying to focus on the what we're actually trying to accomplish here, which is between the two of you. So she's since she's there's no interaction, as in sure I get the impression they're both thinking and they're kind of mad at each other, but they're more mad at themselves because of the way the thing
yeah.
played out. He's mad because he knew she had got out sooner than he did. And she's mad because she lost something she never thought she would. She took it for granted.
Yes.
So just look at that situation and go, okay, are you tired? I'm tired. So we don't want to sit and bring her into it because she's a drainer.
Yeah,
and
really.
So we just want to focus on the situation at hand. Because I have a lot of people do this, and I tell them flat out, you know, the idea of the ex and that kind of stuff has no implications and has no effect on this unless you want to let it. So
no,
just make a choice.
It doesn't.
Yeah,
it's a no
choice.
Thing.
Yeah, just make a choice and say, no energy, please, because you got enough of that when you was on the scene. So no more. No more. She is, because that's, I'm just saying, I've seen some relationships I've seen where the girls are still blaming the other girl when it had nothing to do with her. It was a guy that actually messed around on you or did whatever he did. It's still, that's the problem. And how you're dealing with it is a problem, too. So go hiking and kick a rock over the hill and say she's gone.
Well, she already is. And clearly, I'm aware that, you know, as long as I am talking about or thinking about something I don't want in my reality, I'm inviting it in. And that's just that simple. So it's over.
I have
no idea what her name is even. So I'm not thinking. I think she's a moot point, and it has nothing to do with what I want to create.
Exactly. So I'm just saying, you know, it's a tough situation. People thinking, oh, okay, if I sit there and blame that whole situation, not realizing that not really anybody's blame. It's done. It's over with now. Yesterday's gone. So let's cut it loose. But I'm just saying, I can definitely sense the anger, and he definitely needs to understand that. As long as he's angry with her in any kind of shape or form, there's still an emotional attachment. So we can cut the cords all we want, but he keeps reestablishing that cord because of his anger. And I would even say the ideal of manipulation here, of why she does, why she has that kind of emotional attachment to him too, is to keep that door open. I've seen this before with spirits too, where you have once we have a spouse that's moved on, who's passed away, but the one spouse is grieving for that person so much, and there's that emotional attachment that the spirit can't move on.
Right.
So emotional attachments, and come on guys, emotional attachments can really go deep, even to the point where we've actually seen cords, people to attach, not to the spirit themselves, but attached to the body, because of, think about this, once you go into spirit, the ideal sex is no more, to a point,
right.
Really, seriously, but that person being attached to that person in a sexual way, even after death, is being attached to a body.
Yeah.
An emotional attachment to a body, so therefore... Sometimes they can't understand the connection, and we see the cord goes from them to that person where they're buried. So the attachments are still there, very strongly and very real. So it's just the idea of finding them out and cutting them loose and understand. I usually take Archangel Michael and just say, hey, you know something? I know for a fact there's cords I'm not aware of, and there's ones I am aware of, so let's just cut them all. And let's do this every day. But because I do know there are certain people who are like cowboys who are constantly trying to reestablish those cords all the time. But we can still protect ourselves with the pink light, the white light, the gold light, whichever you're comfortable with.
You know, I want to talk to you about this protection thing, because clearly that's apparent and appropriate in third dimensional reality to protect yourself. But inherent in this protection stuff is fear. And if you come from a place of I am all things, there's nothing to protect you from. It just kind of moves through you, Donnie. Because I recall I used to have headaches, and, you know, I kind of bite my lip and kind of grip, you know, my muscles, and I kind of dig my heels in because it hurt so bad. And then, you know, as soon as I said, I am all things. I have nothing to fear, and it just moved through my body. I had no headaches. I've never had a headache since, in fact, because I don't do protection. I don't do any. I don't push against anything. I don't do an anti anything. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's very 5D.
Yeah.
And I think I have dropped the whole concept of protection, and it has served me well.
I have. I guess I have too, in a sense too, because I've read the same thing too. So if you're a very positive person and you're attracting nothing but positive things, then you have nothing to protect yourself from. I'm just saying that on certain aspects, people, depending on what level of spirituality you're on, the protection of people who would try to, because if you have a person who's trying to reestablish connections to you, you're pretty much on the same level in some sense. So it's just one of those things of saying, if you need to, do this. I've had a family that was in a situation of being attacked by Indian spirits because of where they lived at. So the idea in that situation, they believed in these things very strongly. So the idea of putting the pink bubble around the whole family protected them from these people, because it's like, you know, there's disgruntled Indians saying, you're on my property. And they were like, okay, dude, you're dead. Hit the road. It's not yours anymore. And never was.
But don't you think you don't even have to do that? Because I recall there was a girl that tried to get to me in dream time, and she couldn't, because I was just simply protected through my own awareness, and my alignment with Source is inherent in that is, you know, I'm in a whole different category. She couldn't get to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying too, because I've done the same to myself. Because I was told before by my angels, you know, the ideal of telling people to back off because I'm very well protected, which means you can do what you want, but I'm constantly thinking positive ways, so therefore that's what I'm going to get. And you're trying to interfere with that. So you're interfering with something that has nothing to do with you because of your selfishness. So basically what your actions is causing what happens to you.
Absolutely. My thoughts and my emotions and my, you know, I'm very selfish. And I've heard you mention this selfishness thing. I'm extremely selfish about my alignment with Source. It comes first. And, you know, if you want to mess with my alignment with Source, too bad. It's not my problem. I go first, and I go first with Source.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, if you look in the Bible, when Moses was very, I guess you could say very selfish and wanted to his people to leave, what happened in the situation of someone trying to interfere with that? It was a Pharaoh. And what came out of his mouth is what happened to him and everybody, basically. But it wasn't per se God. It was like, okay, Pharaoh, whatever you say out of your mouth is you're going to interact a curse. So when these people do things, all they're doing is by speaking, which we talk about the power of the tongue, of what's going to happen to you is something you put out there yourself, nobody else. Which kind of goes back to what we were saying before about protection. You're right. We're constantly saying, yeah, selfishness. I think Christians got it wrong when they said you can't be selfish, when actually we have a very, in some ways, a selfish God because of just that, you know, or selfish or self-centered. But those are also interpretations, too, aren't they? That's what humans call it, but it could be just simply the fact of what it really is. Of someone just knowing this is the way it is, this is the way it goes. So therefore, if you interfere with that, all these negative things happen to you because of it. And you interacted the whole thing. It acted.
Uh-huh.
I hope I said that right, because it was just the idea of making it very clear to everybody that when you say things out of your mouth, things are going to happen. And maybe the idea of me even saying anything about protection just gets people to think more positive about their own lives, which is protection in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can't do that...
Well, as long as that protection doesn't create an pushing against, you know, because what happens in that energy when you push against something and you go, no, 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 just like what he's doing to me about my age, you know, he's going to have it in his lap.
Well, see,
and figuratively.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying, when I sit here and talk about the pink light, and I actually read about this in Doreen Virtue's book where she was saying that she felt like the white light was too powerful. It kind of like blocked everything out, called that resistance you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But she said when she put the pink light in there, it enables her to resonate out there her love, but also, I guess in some ways, to make sure that what's coming back is also love. So it filters out the people who are kind of to you, but the people that you really want to interact with, it's like finding the same energy and putting that whole thing. Because that was certain times when I said about this for a minute, okay? Real clearly, when you know you're walking, going down the wrong path, and I'm trying to put it in a different way, I'm saying, you know, it's not the same thing as wrong or right, you just choose a path and go. But if you're going down a path that there's all this resistance and you're going through and people are rubbing you the wrong way and you're rubbing situations in the wrong way, it's because there's no room for you. You was not meant to go down that path in the first place. This is a proven example of it because you're doing nothing but causing resistance.
Right.
There's no path for you to go, but you still proceeded to go down that way anyway, and you're not looking at this stimulus that's going on of saying, okay, you're being rubbed the wrong way. What does that mean? Well, if you go the other direction and make a different decision in a different direction, you probably won't have that resistance, and that's what it's
right.
So it's all
in the flow.
It's not flowing. It's like you're going up the river.
Exactly.
So now we sort
of
turn around.
Go of the oars, baby.
Yeah. So you turn around and go with the flow, and now suddenly you realize that was a better direction.
Mm-hmm. The ease and grace of it, absolutely.
Yeah. So we sit and look at the situation you're in and go, okay, that's going to happen. Where he's going to decide to turn around and go with the flow. Right now he's being very resistant, and that's obvious. I don't think it's a permanent thing.
I think he's thinking of it in terms of the other way around. It's going to be easy for her, for
and
for his new young girlfriend. It would be much easier, and he would be more going with the flow of his age, and he wouldn't be in resistance to.
I don't know why people want to sit there and fight that whole freaking thing and say, okay, if you're standing there in front of somebody, she's a young girl, society said that's a cool thing, but you have no, you don't know what to do with that woman. You're just looking at her.
Oh, yes, you will. He'll know.
I'm not saying a physical way. I'm talking about we like to have certain things in our lives when we meet that right person. Oh, that sucks. Sorry, I was trying to do something real quick, but I can't do it now because when I lost connection on everything, it wiped everything slate. It wiped everything clean. So now I got to start all over again. So I don't have time for that.
I guess I missed this.
Well,
what you just said.
No, what I was saying was I was gonna I put in the chat room all the rates, the call and that kind of stuff. I was gonna do it again, but when I lost connection and everything else, that little right click thing, I can't do
uh-huh.
anymore. It's wiped everything clean. Welcome. Thanks everybody for showing up today, and thank you for being here for the show. Thank you for sitting here and talking to us. We've been on the phone for almost 45 minutes.
You and me?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was sitting there going, hey.
What does the chat room have to say about what we've said? Anything?
I went to check the chat room because I forgot that I didn't bring the chat room back up.
Oh, I see.
So I'm not really sure, but when I went back in there, it was just he. I'm actually the last person to put something in there.
Oh, I see. We've had some really good points. We've brought up some really very juicy concepts and some points and put out some very thought-provoking information today. So I feel really good about our conversation. I don't know if anybody would respond to it because we talked about some real important things about selfishness and the art of selfishness. And we talked about protection and we talked about resistance and going with the flow and what's really important and vibrations and
what do you want to do?
Yeah, we did good. I really liked our conversation a lot.
I was sitting there talking about going over the whole thing with I was going to tell everybody thank you for being here on this being here. It's been one of those fantastic shows as always. So everybody who called in, I appreciate it. If you guys have talked to me before and you want to call in and get a reading after the show, just give me a half hour so I can take a break for five.
Did I wear you out?
And actually, it's one of those things is regrouping because sometimes the energy is so high that when the show is over with, it's like it can be like a drop and there's no net.
Oh, sure. Like blood sugar levels.
Yeah, so I want everybody to check it. I want everybody to tune in tomorrow when we do our show. And I might be a little bit more level-headed tomorrow because I'm actually going down to the Red Cross and donate blood, and I recommend everybody do the same. Because my thing is, I had somebody get on my case about the whole thing, too, and said, you should be donating blood because that's sacrilegious. I'm sitting there going, really? Jesus gave his blood, so why can't I? So, on that note, thank you all for being here to show. Thank you. I really appreciate everybody who called in. And tune in tomorrow and check it out. I think we're going to have some really good
stuff. Yeah, and I really appreciate being able to talk to you, Donnie. You're stimulating in that you're not old paradigm and you're not stuck in the old concepts and of boring old concepts. I think you're very aware and progressive and open, and I really like talking to you, so thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I want to tell everybody out there too, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.